This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston 90.1 FM, and Galveston 89.5 FM.
I remember dressing up in my mother's clothes. She had hordes of high-heeled shoes and plenty of pairs of pantyhose. She had wigs to make me look a thousand different ways, and blouses made of silk and lace and evening gowns for days. My mother's love, my mother's love, all my dreams came true in my mother's clothes. I remember dressing up in my mother's clothes. In the woods behind my house, we have our fashion shows. Secretly we'd gather all the old things we'd dispatch, and soon we'd have a wardrobe with accessories to match. My mother's,
my mother's love,
my mother's love, all my dreams came true in my mother's clothes.
Could be a princess from a fairy tale, or Florence Nightingale, curing all disease in our mother's clothes.
We could be Miss Lois Lane,
Superman,
or even Tarzan's chain, swinging through the streets in our mother's clothes.
We could be a beauty queen. In our mother's clothes.
I don't know how to love him. We could be Petula Clark
downtown,
or even Joan of Arc,
burning at the stake in our mother's clothes. Until we learned it's not okay for a boy to dress that way. Not allowed to fantasize.
To all our waking dreams and the endless possibilities of roles that we can play. Now some of us still dress up in our mother's clothes, and some of us just like to watch, and some look down their nose. But we've all got an image that convey, and drag is something each of us does every single day.
Bringing up your little queen this way.
that very afternoon. And they were so surprised when Donna didn't wear her teeth into the room. And as she walked up to the blackboard, I can still recall the words she had to say.
I'd like to address this meeting of the Oakland at this PTA.
Sitting there, and seven times he's asked her for a date.
I ain't going.
And Mrs. Taylor sure seems to use a lot of ice whenever he's away.
I think she's a drunk lesbian.
And Mr. Baker, could you tell us why your secretary had to leave this town?
The bitch got knocked up.
Mm-hmm. And shouldn't Simon Day be told to keep her pantyhose off or completely down? Couldn't be here cause he stayed too long on Cedar Springs again. And if you smell Donna's breath,
you'll find I had some quibbles once again.
And then you have the nerve to tell me you think that as a drag queen I'm not fit.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is just a little taking place, and you're all down with Texas hypocrites. This way. The day my sister socked us to
the legendary Donna Day.
The day Donna socked us to
the Oakland, Texas PTA. Yeah. Listen, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
It's 2 a.m. on the East Coast, 11 p.m. on the West Coast, and somewhere in Central Texas, Jimmy is waving his willy at wildlife. PETA and the World Wildlife Federation are planning a protest. But it's 1 a.m. here in the throbbing heart of the Montrose, and it's time for After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. On listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, my name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your producer for this evening. As I said, Jimmy Carper is out. Waving Willie at wildlife. He enjoys that. Joining us tonight, Another gem.
Good evening. How are you?
I can't hear anything.
Can you hear me?
My ears.
Testicles.
Is your headphones too loud now?
Oh, no, they're fine.
Okay. Apparently mine are just dead.
You don't know who I live with. This is kind of quiet. Uh-oh. And he's listening, too.
Oh, that's not good.
No. So when I go home, I'll be sleeping on the sofa.
But introduce yourself.
Hey, my name is Jim Crawford. I'm here in Houston. I'm sitting in for Jimmy Carper. He asked me to come on by. I thought, let me see what I can do to bring in the audience and maybe stir up some, stir something.
Yeah, stir. I don't know, it's like our headphones are a little weak.
Hmm.
Turn that, turn. I'll just keep playing with all the knobs.
But the coffee's good.
I don't know. There we go. I think we're getting close there. I can hear myself. And if you don't...
Mm-hmm.
Ew. never read your pens. They'll scare you. This is Pledge Drive. And we are asking for your support to keep this station and this show going.
Mm-hmm.
The number 713-526-5738. We have the usual cast of characters out in the lobby. You know, where the better show usually goes on. We always talk about our radio show is that there's two shows going on.
Yeah.
One on here and one in the lobby, and we usually can't broadcast the one in the lobby.
Well, I had to pull myself away.
Yeah,
pull it down. It down. That's what I was told this morning. Pull it down. Okay.
Pull it down to get it closer to your mouth.
Oh, that's nice.
Now we can.
See, that's just wrong. Anyway,
I've got at least the protection on mine. You don't.
Oh well, you know what they say.
Yeah. Well, so we need you to call in 713-526-5738. If you're one of those out there in the world listening to us on the internet, you can go to kpft.org and place your pledge in safety and security online. Just make sure you credit us for it. We'd love to be able to make our goal this time around.
And what do they get when they pledge?
Well, there's all sorts of different levels. And
because you know what? I know a lot of you out there, you know, that you're out every weekend spending $60 a night, you know, doing something. I'm not going to say what. But, you know, if you just take a Friday night off, stay home, and take some of that money and put it into this station, this can go on for years to come. So just think about it. Next Friday, staying home, taking that money, calling in, or getting online, and just...
Hey,
yes.
I drove through the neighborhood, and the corners are bare.
What's
so you have nothing to spend there.
Thank you. Exactly.
Those of you who are window shopping...
Uh-huh.
You know, there's nothing out there.
And if you're at, you know, one of the bars that has, you know, men who like to show you what they have for some money, you know, put that aside and say, hey, listen, I'm going to stop this evening and support KPFT. You know what? Every time I was talking to Jimmy, I always said it backwards. KPFT.
Well, you can remember the one way one of our people mentioned, one of the... People who don't like us, KPFT, it's Keep Playing Fag Tunes.
Ooh, okay. Keep Playing Fag Tunes.
So, remember that, and we'll be playing some more of those. By the way, the music we started the show off with, Romanofsky and Phillips, in My Mother's Clothes, and Mark Allen Smith with Harper Valley PTA.
And those of you who are in your mom's clothes right now, more power, okay?
Let's see, some of the gifts we've got here for you. Of course, there's the $30 level, which gets you membership into KPFT and other little sort of goodies with that and a bumper sticker.
Mm.
At $60, we have a KPFT logo t-shirt. Or you can get the Juneteenth compilation, the best of Juneteenth, the 1984 Juneteenth Blues Festival performances. More t-shirts at the $90.
Wow.
We don't have the cranker?
What's
there it is.
Okay.
There it is. The two things we always like to talk about when it comes to Fun Drive.
Okay.
We have the KPFT cranker. Where else can 30 seconds of cranking give you 30 minutes of pleasure?
Oh, man. 30 minutes of pleasure. Just think about that.
It's the hand crank radio with built-in cell phone charger, flashlight, AM, FM, and the weather channels. And a weather alert. Mm-hmm. It's a radio that you crank up for 30 seconds. Yeah. It generates enough electricity for 30 minutes.
And you know, gay men, their right hand, if you're right-handed, has a lot of power. So you can probably pick up any radio station in the world. Just think about that when you give to this station.
Mm. We always love promoting the cranker radio. The other concept we'd like to have is cocktails for KPFT.
Oh.
We would like for you to give up just one cocktail a month.
Exactly.
Save your liver and give up one cocktail a month. That's $5 a month. That comes to, what's that, $60.
Yes.
We'll send you a t-shirt. And like I said, just one cocktail per month. I think your liver will love you for it.
And you know what? We hang around the same circle.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you know those people can give up at least one.
Yeah, I mean,
because you know how much, you know, I'm not going to say who, but, you know, sometimes the exuberance of the evening, just think about it. Put that one drink down, take the money, and go and donate it to
KPFT.
Thank you. Exactly.
713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT. Let's see, what's the stuff Jimmy left for me to talk about?
Uh-oh. Be very afraid.
Roundtable.
Okay.
Roundtable.
Yeah, he does his homework.
Yeah. He still has a schedule in here I tried coming up with back when we were still on Friday nights. Let's see. On Thursday, May 31st at Mary's Naturally, ICOH, Space City Empire presents Blue Moon Madness. Blue drink specials, blue games, and blue balls.
Why? Oh, yeah.
Blue's Clues.
Be very afraid of that, too.
I'll take either Steve or Joe.
Okay.
Thank God I have a 3-year-old nephew, so I have some at least legitimate looking excuse to be watching Blue's Clues. I can't help it, they hire hot guys to sing and dance in front of a green screen.
Thank you.
Da, 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 da.
Well, we'll have to talk about the first one that was on Blue's Clues. Rumor has it.
What?
That, if I'm not mistaken, he committed suicide.
No.
You know how rumors here in the gay community fly?
Yeah, that rumor came because after he left Blue's Clues, he played a heroin junkie on Law and Order. And he died in the episode.
Oh.
And so people kind of put two and two together and come up with 27. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, was it 2 years ago he performed here in Houston with his band? He's a punk rock singer. He does punk rock singing.
We'll have to go and listen, maybe.
Yeah, he was down here at the Proletariat.
Okay.
Down at Richmond and Montrose. It was like 2 years ago, and my nephew likes Blue's Clues. I found out and I had one of a current picture of him, and he looks so different from his Blue's Clues days. So I sent it to my mom. She printed them all for him, and a picture of the new guy, who when he's not in the goofy outfit, and we showed him to my sister-in-law, who has been forced to watch all these Blue's Clues episodes, and she couldn't pick him out until we told him that it's Steve and Joe.
Oh, see, you know what? We do watch Blue's Clues, I guess, since he knows so much about him.
Yes, I also know that Joe's not his real name.
Oh, see,
Steve was his real name, but the guy who they picked to play his younger brother, they figured kids would have too much of a difficult time saying Donovan,
okay,
which is his real name, so they just changed it to Joe.
See, where else in Houston can you get that bit of information? Just think about what your dollars will bring you. That wonderful... See, I was misled because you know how gossips are. And we won't mention names, will we, about people who like to gossip. But see, you know, I learned so much this evening that when I go back to work, I know exactly what to say.
It's the... let's see. So last night it was from ICOH. Let's see what's coming up here. That's not... No, that's not... That's...
Wait.
What the hell day is it? Oh, 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast at Mary's. Naturally.
Yeah.
10 a.m. for those of you who... Yeah.
We know who you are.
Those of you who have just kicked the trick out and need something to try and forget the night before that you've already forgotten.
Or take your trick with you. Come on. Spend some money. Well, you know...
It's time to treat a trick?
Treat a trick, exactly. You know, we trick or treat, we should treat a trick, okay?
Then the Mother of Montrose contest is later on.
I will be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, I'll be there. And from what I've heard from... Well, see, here I go again. But what I've heard is supposed to be a fantastic event. I mean, all the mothers are going to be coming out. See, we're going to pull something up here.
I got that.
But
where the hell did I leave it?
And if you...
Oh, there it is. I'd already clicked on it.
What time does that start?
That's why I got to click on the button here thing.
Oh, there we go.
From Daddy Rose.
Love Daddy Rose.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, there's Chanel Cartier.
The Mother of Montrose presents Got Mother's Milk.
Chanel, where did you take this picture? You got to call me, because that's great.
The Mother of Montrose 2007 pageant marries naturally. On Sunday, May 13th at 5 p.m.
Okay. And from what I know, all the mothers are supposed to be coming out.
Yes, the mothers in review.
Mm-hmm.
The former mothers are going to be out on a bar run.
They were out this evening. Yes, they were out this evening.
On Saturday Night Lookout, the mothers were on a bar run. They'll be crowning the 10th anniversary mother.
Uh-huh. And I know several of the mothers, and, you know, they're... wonderful, and they raise a lot of money in this community, a lot of money. And if you can bring that picture back up, you know, I have to say, that's milk on her upper lip. I couldn't tell. It was white. Sorry, I could not tell.
I think she was doing a bleaching treatment that day, and that's when they took the picture.
Oh, and if you're listening, please call in. We're going to pick on people. I see.
Yes, it's catty night.
Oh, I love that.
So, let's see what other things I have on there.
Here's a lot of stuff.
That's
here.
All the Reese's, so we'll get to them in a sec. Let's see. On Monday, ICOH has Montana's movie night.
Mm-hmm.
The Jukebox Show on Wednesday. Cocktails at Tony's on Friday with Her Majesty.
Wow.
Next Saturday is Disco Fever with Her Majesty at EJ's. And there'll be ICOH night here on the show.
Cool, great. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's Ginger Vitus, who's doing that on Friday night.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Give a plug out there for Ginger, who's also a past mother. And those of us who know her, she's a real mother, huh? Yes.
Yeah, that's why Roy was expecting to receive mother's presents there. So just because you're called a mother FCC doesn't mean you get a prize. The Bayou City Women's Chorus is presenting The Heart of Home. Stop in the name of love or music, the Bayou City Women's Chorus will take you to new heights as they sing songs of quintessential female singers and songwriters. The first performance that was tonight has already sold out and passed. So join them on Tuesday, May 22nd at 7:30 at Bering Memorial United Methodist Church, 1440 Harold Street in the Montrose.
And they're really good. They really are. And if I'm not mistaken, that Daddy Rose is in that as well.
Yes, she's always...
She's in something, you know?
Yeah. She gets around.
Well, okay, that's what I heard, but I didn't say it. So when I go to Mary's tomorrow, Rose, don't say that I said it, okay?
Hey, she tried killing me with a cocktail once.
Oh, try. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it was way too early in the night, you know. Jägermeister is one of those drinks of last call. Okay, I'll take a Jägermeister now and try and find my way home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, at 9 o'clock at night, that's not the time to be giving me, what was it, Jägermeister, Sambuca, Goldschlager. I'm surprised I found my car.
I'm surprised he's still here. Lord. Well, you know, I think she bartends there at Mary's, naturally, as well. So, stop on by, and she'll be there tomorrow, I know of. And, you know, Meg, just say, hey, we send you there so she can mix one of those mean drinks, and the woman can mix a drink. So, come on in.
Hold on a second.
Hey, how are you?
Carol.
Yeah. Okay. So, we're doing some passing of the cell phones here. Let's see. What else do we have?
What time should I have her call back?
Call it 2.
At 2?
Yeah, we'll make it at 2.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the phone systems here, because we're waiting for you to call in your pledge at 713-526-5738. Coming up at 2 here, we're going to have Carol Queen, well-known in the bisexual community, talking with Gigi.
And you want to listen to that, because I know I do.
What's this? Miss Houston Pride Royale pageant has been set for May 27th at Tony's Corner Pocket. It's Memorial Day weekend, so come out and cheer on the current title holders and say goodbye to the rain. And who will be chosen as the Miss Houston Pride Royale 2007-8? There is an entry fee, 3 categories of pride color presentation, one color and tell us why, talent, 3 minutes minimum, 5 minutes max, and formal wear, an on-stage Q&A.
Oh, Q&A.
Q&A, not TNA.
Okay. I had to make sure. Hey, if you're listening, Christopher, did you email Chris the information about the other that's going to happen on Memorial Day weekend? If not, we're sitting in front of his computer.
On Memorial Day weekend, I picked up some of the stuff.
Yeah, because I think that is Gay Pride. And you know what? If I'm not mistaken, standing behind me is a former, is a past Gay Pride. Maybe she can throw in a bit of, well, I should say she, he will throw in some information when he gets on the air, you know? Because standing behind me, and I know this person, wonderful individual, but we'll have to wait until, you know.
Are you here representing somebody? Oh, good, you are. Well, get in here. You're supposed to be on the air anyway.
You want him to sit there?
I don't know. If you want to lean over him and...
Well, here, why don't you sit and we'll lean and we'll talk.
Because our Reese's Quickie, which means I don't have to go through all the stuff, but do you need crib notes?
Yes, probably I do.
There's this.
Oh, there we go.
Well, and who do we have here in the studio today, this evening?
This evening. Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
I'm Aurora Breyer. Mm. I'm here representing Reese's this evening. Mm-hmm. I'm Imperial Princess this year, mm-hmm. and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we want to make sure that the... both the courts get out the events for all the work that they do for the community and help support and raise money for those individuals. It's important to get this information out, and since nowadays we don't have a weekly media in this community except for us and for Queer Voices, so we want to make sure that people know what events are coming up and where they can throw their dollars at.
Thank you. We appreciate it very much. It, with all the different organizations that are out there trying to raise money for all these people in need, different organizations, different groups that need this money, it's very important to get that information out there and let people know where we're going to be, what we're doing, where their dollars are going. Mm-hmm. It's very important. It's one of the reasons that I do this. Mm. Absolutely.
And the organization that he belongs to is a 501(c). So the money that you donate during these events on the weekend, during the week, or whenever they have it, will go directly to their benefits.
Beneficiaries. Absolutely. We make sure that... You know, we consider every year as we elect new monarchs, you know, they take into consideration a lot of these organizations that are here in town and look at exactly where that money is going and make sure that we get it to the people that are most in need. This year our beneficiary is Legacy Community Health Services. We've chosen the umbrella organization because they have so many programs underneath them that the money, you know, needs to move around at different times. Different programs need that money at different times. So we wanted to make sure that they were able to help as many people as possible in as many of their programs as possible. And so we're very, very happy to make them our RAIN beneficiary for this year.
And for those of you who haven't heard of Legacy, it's what was formerly called the Montrose Clinic.
Correct. And the Assistance Fund.
And the Assistance Fund.
Once they merged together, they became Legacy. And so, you know, know, for the rain, once that terminates in February, they'll present their checks to that organization. And in the meantime, every month we're raising money, not only for them, but we do also do direct benefits each month where we choose the membership of the organization, chooses a different beneficiary every month. So we have a direct benefit that we write a check to within 7 to 10 days to make sure that that organization also, you know, gets that much needed money. So, you know, it's legacy is our main one for the year, but we do make sure that we share that with everybody in the community.
Oh, exactly.
You know, there are a lot of people in need and a lot of different programs. Everybody has their individual need, and so we want to try and make sure that we meet that as best we can.
And every dollar that comes in goes out as a dollar.
Exactly.
There's no overhead. You're not, you know, it's not like there's a certain organization that has a crescent or has a crimson colored plus sign as their emblem, where, you know, every dollar goes in, goes out, leaves as a nickel.
Correct.
You know, I'm not mentioning any names of the crimson plus sign people. But every dollar that comes into this organization leaves us a dollar.
Absolutely. And we try and choose beneficiaries where we know that the majority of that dollar that we're giving them is going to go back to somebody in need. I believe with Legacy, it's, I think it's 93 cents of every dollar that we raise goes directly back to the community, goes directly back to somebody in need. So, you know, we look at that as well to make sure that, you know, every dollar we give them, as much of that as possible is going back to the community. So I think that that's one of the most important things, absolutely. So,
and besides the flyers, where else can they look to find out more information on the organization and upcoming events?
We actually, we have a great website. We have a webmaster who keeps it up to date with a lot of our posters, a lot of our information, also a lot of pictures from previous shows, so people can see who it is that comes out, who it is that's performing, and see that, you know, we're still having fun while we're doing it.
Exactly.
So, you know, we're trying to make it as painless as possible. But they can go to our website, which is www.ersicss.org. I think I got that right without looking.
He has to do it the way I do it. As I sit there and look at the keyboard and go, EmpireRoyalSovereignImperialCourtSingleStar.org.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I'm also the reign secretary for the organization, so every time I have to type that, I have to I have to think in my head and spell it out. But yes, www.ereces.org will keep you up to date on all the events that we have, all the posters that we produce get put up on that website so that everybody knows. And we also have information on the upcoming coronation, which will be in January, so that people can start planning now to, you know, let them know where we're going to be as we do this big changeover from one reign to the next. That's our big fundraiser for the year. We get people that come from all over the country.
And coronation is basically the installation of the new...
Correct.
The new monarchs, which is, or which is also the same as co-presidents.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For the few who don't understand the court system, because I always joke about the fact I was thrown into finding out about the court my second time ever in a gay bar.
Oh, no.
In Waco, Texas.
Oh.
Say, well, we've all been in Waco.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And, you know, I went back to school, and they finally opened a gay bar. I went back to do some testing. And I went into the bar the first night, and, you know, it was just normal, very laid back, very simple. I go in the second night, and the bartenders are wearing tuxedo jackets, and I'm just sitting there at a table, drinking my beer with this look on my face of, what the hell has happened?
Wondering, why in the world is this going on around me, and what did I get myself into?
And some guy must have recognized that look on my face and explained it to me.
It's a very common look. We get that all the time still.
When you go into a bar and you're used to a certain type of setting, and then all of a sudden, the big hair...
Yeah.
Bigger.
And the big dresses come out.
After all.
Yes.
Comes in, and it's like, what?
And don't forget the big jewelry.
Big hair, big jewelry.
Big jewelry.
Absolutely.
The bigger, the better. I mean, I've been to many, and it's a lot of fun. They do. They raise a lot of money. And if you haven't been to one, like Aurora said, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to call you because you know we go way back.
Absolutely.
You have to go on the website, look and see where, when, and you have to make a point to at least go to the Saturday night event because it's something that you really want to see. It's a spectacle, but it's in fun.
Absolutely.
There's people from all over the country.
Oh, during the coronation?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it's a lot of fun.
It is an event. It's hard to explain to people that haven't been a part of it. But, you know, we do. We work very hard all year long raising money. We are out 2-3, you know, nights a weekend.
Exactly. Oh, easily.
Putting events together, raising money for the community. And the court system is a very established system. It's been around over 40 years.
Exactly.
As the international court system. And so it's sort of the game that we play to make the fundraising more fun.
Exactly.
So it's, you know, it's entertaining. And we have an emperor and empress who, Chris said, act as basically co-presidents for the year. And we have a reign of succession that's modeled after a royal court system. And, you know, it just kind of adds a little fun to the game that we play.
Exactly.
And there are 7 courts here in Texas alone. So we get to play it with, you know, a whole bunch of other people. And it makes it fun and it makes it worthwhile. Because otherwise fundraising can be, you know, a little dry sometimes, tedious.
Uh-huh.
And just as you guys are in the middle of your pledge drive, you know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're asking these people to donate their money and to give to a good cause. And, you know, you want to make sure that they're entertained and they have, you know, fun while they're doing it.
Exactly. And they have fun. Speaking of fun, after coronation, hospitality. It's all on there. It's all on. Or off.
Stay out of the way. As soon as the doors open, just get away from the food because we're all hungry.
Exactly.
We've been in face for way too long. Mm-hmm. We want the food. Stay out of the way.
I dropped off stuff and left.
You were wise.
That was smart.
Well, by the time Eresus announced their last emperor and empress, we were just getting on air. So there was no way I could have hung around.
Right, absolutely.
For that. I mean, we were in our opening bit like this, and you know, I get my 2 phone calls giving me the information, then Jimmy's spy calls up on the main line.
Absolutely. So. Okay, here's the deal. Yes, it can be, you know, it can be a little bit long, but again, you're celebrating with a lot of different people, and you want to acknowledge the fact that they're there and that they're there helping you celebrate what you've done, you know, for that year. It's not only when we elect our new monarchs, it's also the celebration that the reigning monarchs have to celebrate all the hard work that they've done throughout the year. Not just themselves, but their entire line. All those, you know, all those title holders, all those people that were out every weekend raising those dollars, they want to be able to celebrate and say, you know, this is what we've done. And it's time now to, you know, relax a little bit and have fun and celebrate with our friends and get ready for the next year.
And the pageantry of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This was my first time being a part of one of those events. I was one of the flag bearers.
Ah.
So it was very unusual for me being a part with that and seeing the pageantry, then going out and seeing all the jewels they had.
Oh, absolutely. It is fun, and it you know, it's a, like I said, it's a game that we play, but, you know, it's a game that people take seriously as well. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's part of the whole ritual of raising the money.
It really
is. And again, you have to keep it fun. Oh, someone.
Hello?
Those spies calling in already.
Who could it be? Well, why don't you tell us some of the events that are coming up?
Well, we just actually had an event last night that was a lot of fun. Craven had her birthday celebration.
I know. Happy birthday, Craven.
Yes, happy birthday.
We love you.
And one of the things that made this so much fun is that she did it in the style of a sock off.
Oh, how fun.
So it was a 50s sock off.
Oh.
50s music wasn't required, you know, which it's hard to find every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think probably 95% of those performers took the effort to find some of that music.
Good.
And they stayed in the theme.
Good.
And that made it, so much more enjoyable
mm-hmm.
because it's not music that you're used to hearing. It's not the styles that you're used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made it so much more fun. She raised over $400 last night at the BRB. So we want to congratulate her.
Congratulations.
And, oh, poodle skirts galore. You wouldn't believe. Oh, my Lord. But it was so, it was fun. It was entertaining. It was good to see.
Great, great.
And we do have one coming up tomorrow night
mm-hmm.
in celebration of Mother's Day.
Okay.
So once you're done with the Mother of Montrose contest, mm-hmm. you can come over to the BRB. We have two queen mothers this year.
Okay.
Barbara Walker and Shelby St. John
oh, great.
Are our queen mothers, and they're going to be hosting their Mother's Day celebration. And, oh, I don't know if we're quite ready for this, but they have titled it Mamma Mia, Songs My Mother Never Sang to Me.
Oh, well, that's kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of worried
okay.
about some of those
yeah.
songs that might come out, but with Barbara and Shelby, you never know.
Exactly. They're two wonderful people, and
absolutely.
It'll be a great show. Great show.
And Barbara, we are hoping that Barbara's going
to
be there. She's been under the weather lately.
Sorry to
so
hear that.
We are wishing her well and hope that she'll be there
yes,
to help us
yes,
celebrate
please.
Tomorrow night. Then next week, we start out the weekend on Friday night with one of the last events that mm-hmm. our current Ms. Gay Pride.
Okay.
For the
oh,
year,
yes.
Susan
mm-hmm.
Hayes and her partner Sherry Harrell are putting a show together called Love American Style.
Oh.
Also going to be at the BRB, and it's going to start at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's in celebration of their second anniversary together.
Oh,
so
how wonderful.
Absolutely. So they're looking for love songs. They're looking for duets. They're, you know, looking for fun things to help them celebrate.
And cheesy TV shows.
Yeah,
cheesy TV shows of the 70s.
There you go. And again, it's one of the last events that Ms. Gay Pride, Susan, gets to do before
okay.
the Gay Pride pageant.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Memorial Day weekend when she'll step down.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So, and then Sunday of that weekend, our Grand Duke and Grand Duchess, Scott Kenyon and Marcia Mink Gill, are presenting Stretch.
Oh, yeah.
At the BRB.
They're good at that.
Well, they are, but it also happens to be Marcia's birthday show.
Oh, no.
So I think it's more in reference of stretching the 29 years that she's had, you
oh,
know.
Okay.
Continuing. Oh, let's do 29 again. We're stretching that, yes.
Oh, the Jack Benny effect.
But she looks
thankfully
good.
We don't have any young.
Oh, she does. She's a wonderful entertainer, and you know
nope, she's claiming 33rd birthday.
Oh, she is claiming her 33rd.
Wow, she okay.
She's being brave, and she's going out there and putting a number,
a higher number. But she looks good, and she's
all
a
that
wonderful.
Pan
you,
well, it's all that pan
I didn't say that, Marcia. I love you. No.
Trust me, I use the stuff. I understand its benefits. Okay. I have a birthday this year as well. It's a big number. Trust me, I'm very happy for Pants Day.
Thank you. Now, if only men could wear it. Well, yeah.
In your everyday life, probably
yeah,
not as easily
true.
As the rest of us.
Yeah,
so.
true.
But yes, we do have these wonderful events coming up in May. You know, that Memorial Day weekend, we're not really doing much. We're trying to focus and let the gay pride pageants
mm-hmm.
have their time. And
great.
We know a lot of people go out of town.
True.
We're trying not to overwhelm everybody so much with all these different shows. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it gives us a chance to relax. It gives us a chance
mm-hmm.
to enjoy what else is going on in the community and see who else is out there.
Right.
So,
right.
So we're looking forward to it. Absolutely.
Well, and you're, as I mentioned before, you are a past Miss Gay Pride.
That is correct. I was Miss Gay Pride for 2004
mm-hmm.
for Houston. So
wonderful. Well, I think I was there that night that you won, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you were.
And
absolutely.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful night. It was wonderful. And they put in a year of hard work. You really do.
It absolutely is. I mean, I've only been doing this for a few years,
mm-hmm.
but I sort of jumped in with both feet. I won the title of Miss Keys West.
Yes.
When
mm-hmm.
Keys West was still here in existence. And entered the Miss Gay Pride pageant simply for some experience.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little more comfortable behind a microphone,
yeah.
in front of an audience, doing that on-stage Q&A. You know, making sure that I could, you know, step up to the plate. I never expected to win.
And
but I did.
Yes,
so I had two
job.
Titles for the year. So it was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But it got me involved in this community, and it really, I was able to see how much need there was,
mm-hmm.
and it made me want to stay committed to this and make mm-hmm. sure that I stayed out there and helped as many people as I could.
Mm-hmm. And these individuals, when they do it for a year or longer, they do it not just for the acknowledgement or being known, but to actually raise money for the community.
Absolutely. They go hand in hand.
Exactly,
they really do.
Exactly.
I mean, the only way that you're going to get those people to give you those dollars is to make sure that you're out there all the time and that they see who you are. And it's not so much the acknowledgement to say, oh, you know, look who she is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has a sash and she has a crown. But it's, look, she's out every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And she's raising money. And this money isn't going into her pocket. So it's, you know.
The gowns aren't being paid for by your tips.
Absolutely.
The makeup, the wigs.
Absolutely. That all comes out of our pocket. It's part of, you know, it's part of our contribution along with the talent that we have. What, you know, little it is for some of us, but, you know.
I'm not saying a word.
Oh, I'm strictly talking about myself.
Oh, no,
absolutely.
No.
So it's, you know, that's part of the commitment that we have. We, you know, we get involved and we do this because, you know, we try and maintain that fun aspect of it and make sure that we get out there. And by the community seeing us out, knowing that we're there, knowing exactly what it is that we're doing, they understand much more about the causes that we're there fighting for.
Great.
So it's, you know, yes, the acknowledgement is nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't deny that. But,
no.
You know, the people who have the good causes in their heart know that that's not why they're there.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
And by being out there every weekend, you are able to let everybody else see that as well. So that's, you know, that's part of the, like I said, the game that we play.
I mean, it's a fun game.
Oh, it is. It absolutely can be a fun game.
And then I think if those of you who go out periodically, you have seen us three out every time you're out doing something, because that's who we are and that's what we do.
Absolutely.
It might not, it's for the cause, not just for an organization. It's just for the beneficiaries trying to raise money to make the community stronger.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that it's so important to promote these, you know, get the posters out there, get people to stop at the website, you know, have us come in onto the radio here at KPFT and talk about it and let people know this is why we're out there.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Especially, like you say, for those people that only come out periodically, they don't always understand. They don't realize, you know, what the court is or why the court is in existence. They see drag queens out there dancing and singing and getting money in their hand. And you know, people, for instance, at Cousins or at JR's, you know, they're paid performers. They're there. They're making
the dick
a living.
Dancers
this
are taking.
Yeah. Do.
Well, we can say that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. The dick dancers are. You know, the dick dancers are there to make money.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. There's a certain club. You know, the dick dancers are there, and that money's going to end up on some kind of bicycle over in one of the wards.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
But that's why they're there. That's their living. That's their job. That's what they do.
And but the performers you see who are there with either the courts or any other beneficiary, the other organizations like Colt 45, Southern Country, who puts on these shows and that, it's to benefit some organization, some group of people who need that helping hand.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the best things, I mean, I've worked with the Colts and I've worked with ERECs, members of ICOH as well, some of these other organizations that are out there. The best thing to do is you just ask. You know, when you see a show going on, just ask somebody, you know, oh, you know, what are they doing tonight? What, you know, they're going to be happy to tell you about their organization and exactly where that money is going so that, you know, people understand. That's the big thing is just getting the word out there and making sure people understand why it is that we do
and
this.
And every dollar counts.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you make, if you have a show that only makes, you know, $75, $100, that's $75 or $100 more than you started with.
Thank you.
And all of that money is going to go to the beneficiary. It's going to go to somebody in need.
Yeah, I mean, if it was as simple as not for someone dropping an $18,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 check, we wouldn't have a problem.
Very true.
But it's a dollar a time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like Sally Struthers says, for 25 cents a day,
exactly.
You can feed me and make this kid watch.
For the cost of a cup of coffee.
Oh, speaking of.
Well, oh, there you go, coffee.
Yeah.
So, and I think, too, one of the things that not everybody understands, mm-hmm. Especially for an organization like Legacy, mm-hmm. who also receives government money, mm-hmm. you know, through all their different grants and stuff, chances are the money that an organization like eReese's provides for them mm-hmm. every year, those dollars are going to go a lot further
exactly.
than the government dollar is, because the government's going to attach all this red tape to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, only maybe 50 cents or, you know, 30 cents of that dollar is going to go mm-hmm. to a person in need from the government, where mm-hmm. much more of it from the community is going to go directly.
And the good part is that those government grants are what helps keep the overhead of the dollars.
Absolutely.
You go in, you know, they don't have to pay the overhead because right. they've already paid for it with the government stuff.
Exactly, exactly. So much more of that money is able to go to somebody in need. So it's, you know, that's one of the reasons that when you ask, you know, oh, what's the show going on?
Mm-hmm.
Who's it for?
Exactly.
You know, where is my money going to go? Where is that dollar that I hand that drag queen going to end up?
Mm-hmm.
And most of these organizations, I can proudly say, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to tell you that's going to go directly to somebody in need.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So,
and if you're in doubt, go to the organization, go to the beneficiary, mm-hmm. go directly and see. Because
absolutely.
Because I would say about a great majority of people in the community have no idea who these beneficiaries are.
That's very true.
And if you're wondering, then take the step and go out and visit them and
absolutely.
See. And then you will really know why people go out there and try to raise money.
Right. And that's why I say most of the people that are involved in these organizations, they're involved for the right reasons. They mm-hmm. know why they're there. And if somebody comes up and asks them a question about it, they're going to be more than happy to tell you.
Right.
They're not going to shy away from that question and say, oh, well, you know, we're raising money for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to tell you, oh, this is who we're raising money for, and this is what they do, and these are the people that they help, and that's why we do it.
Thank you. And
so,
give us a dollar.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for asking. How much would you like to donate this
exactly.
evening?
Exactly.
So, it's yeah, they're going to be more than happy to make sure that you know exactly where that money's going.
Right. Right.
Because that's the only way you can do it, is by getting the word out there.
Perfect.
You know,
perfect.
We're the fourth largest country, you know, in the States, and we have the third largest gay population.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And most of those people don't realize who's out there to help them, help their family, help their friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to try and help that, you know, out as much
exactly.
as possible.
Exactly.
And our Emperor and Empress this year, Chris Big Daddy Bling Bling
uh-huh.
Beck
uh-huh.
and Cheyenne have been out in the community for a couple of years, and they're the ones that chose this beneficiary. They see the work that it does,
mm-hmm.
they know where all that money's going, and they want to make sure that they help them out as best they can.
Great.
And
great.
We are happy, absolutely happy to help them do that throughout the year.
And they do a great job.
Oh, God, yes.
Great
oh,
job.
Absolutely.
Great job.
I strive to, you know, to reach that level
oh,
at some
please.
Point.
I think you're there.
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay, so we've got the Reese's event tomorrow of Mamma Mia.
Yes.
And where's that at again?
Show. That's going to be at the BRB tomorrow evening, and it's going to start at 8 p.m.
As Mamma Mia songs your mother never sang to you.
Oh, I'm scared. I'm really scared to hear some of those, because you know that they're going to camp that up as much as they can.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
But, you know, it's Barbara Walker, who
yes.
was Empress 17.
Yes.
And Shelby St. John, who was Empress 18.
Mm-hmm.
So they are people we're on. Currently reign 23.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people who have been around in the community for several
exactly.
years and still to this day
mm-hmm.
continue to raise money for
thank
the community.
You. Thank you.
So they are our queen mothers for the year, and they want to help everybody celebrate.
Right. That's perfect.
You know,
wonderful.
And, you know, songs my mother never sang to me. Sounds like they're going to definitely
mm-hmm.
have a good time with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And for more information on Reese's, it's E-R-
uh-huh.
E-R-
Get the keyboard out. Get the keyboard out in front of you. I know it is a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is.
ERSICSS.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we have all that information up on the website, and you can see who our line members are, who
mm-hmm.
that line of succession is. Check upcoming events,
mm-hmm.
check coronation, and
exactly.
like I said, check out pictures, too.
Mm-hmm.
There are some there are some fun, candid photos on there from some of the shows that we've had. So you can see the fun that we're having.
And restricted, too.
Shh,
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for coming in, Aurora.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it very much, helping us get the word out.
All right. A great person. Love this person. I mean, always out there doing something.
Thank you very much. You know, if you see me out there, ask me about it. You know, I'm happy to share as much information as I can. I do absolutely appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We greatly appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Good luck with your pledge drive, gentlemen.
Yes, I'm going to put a little bug in people's ears. Got to push this button here, and we'll be back in 1 minute.
This is Dean Becker, producer of the 420 Drug War News, Cultural Baggage, and Century of Lies. You want to hear the real truth? Do you want to know what's really going on? You know you'll never get the whole truth from Fox or MSNBC. Cheerleaders for war, for profits, for charlatans, for ratings alone. If you value the worth, the spine, the truth of Pacifica Radio, please show your appreciation. Show your support for KPFT, the station that was twice bombed off the air and rose out of the ashes to become a beacon of light and a purveyor of truth.
You're listening to KPFT 90.1, Houston.
I'll come out. Get Roy to do it. Yes, that was Dean Becker, who we used to have as part of our segment here on After Hours. Reminding you to call in your pledge of support at 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT. We have a goal to raise, and so far we are 0% of the way to getting that goal.
Zero.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh, come on, people, please.
No one's called in, so we need for you to call in your pledge support. Show Jimmy we don't need him.
Oh, no, we need
now. That'd be nice, though, if we get a pledge drive. You know, it's been very slow, I know. But we need to get your support in, because where else are you going to hear some of the events that are going on in the community?
Exactly.
You know, we don't have a weekly newspaper anymore. That's Houston-based. Mm-hmm. You know, the Twit is San Antonio-based whenever we do see it.
Yes.
Outsmart's a great magazine, but it's once a month.
True.
So, the Gem, kind of teetering.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to be able to give an outlet here to the community and what's important in our community, and that's helping others. And we need you to call at 713-526-5738. And, show the love.
Mm-hmm. And those of you who just walked in from the bars, come on. Call us. You're still up. Well, we think you're home.
Remember, the cocktails for KPFT.
There you go.
Give up one cocktail a month. One cocktail a month.
Just one?
Just one.
You see, it's not that hard. One.
Yeah. Now, yeah, we are asking you to give up the Cosmopolitan, the $5 drink, you know. Quit going to these, you know, dollar drink specials there. Well, I'll take them, too. You know, you won't get a bumper sticker for $12 a year. But, you know, because, I mean, let's put it this way. Let's start it off. No, not the math.
Oh, thank God.
I'm getting out.
Uh-oh, he's going
to... I have got... You should recognize this sound. For anyone who's listened to this show long enough, when it comes time for Pledge Drive, you should recognize this sound. You hear that? Those are postage stamps.
Oh.
Because, see, we have a lot of listeners who are behind bars.
True.
And nowadays, you know, that's basically their commodity they have, mm-hmm. is postage stamps. And we have a MBB, Man Behind Bars, okay. listener, who pledges his support with postage stamps.
Oh, how wonderful.
And he said, you know, it feels bad that, you know, he's going to have to cut back because, right. and we completely understand that, Tigger. I mean, this guy wasn't able to hear our show mm-hmm. for a year and a half to 2 years.
Wow.
He still pledged what he could.
So what the hell are you waiting for out there?
Exactly. Exactly.
This is a person, once again, like I said, this is postage stamps, people. And here's the thing, not only this, these are the 39-cent postage stamps. He's so prepared for the postal increase, these are 2-cent stamps he sent along as well.
See, look, now, if he can do it...
What the hell are you waiting for?
Especially those of you who live in those great, big, beautiful new townhomes that are being built where I used to live. You know, you can afford two drinks a month, I think.
Yes, if you live in the corrugated tin palaces out there,
mm-hmm.
you should be able to call on your pledge.
Exactly.
David, has the phones been flipped? One phone line? Okay, so we're waiting. We're waiting for Carol Queen to call in, and we'll have her on with Gigi. Hold on, I'll get your mic on, Gigi.
Ah, yes.
Oh, I like that voice.
Yeah. And we'll have Gigi's segment here.
And we've got a special segment tonight. We're having Carol Queen call in.
Oh,
and so. She's been on After Hours in the past. It's been a while, but she's really dynamic.
So we're going to ask for you to call in your pledge of support, 713-526-5738. Or you can go online and go to kpft.org. You can put in all your credit card information in safety and security and privacy. I remember at $60 you get a KPFT t-shirt, and that's part of the Cocktails for KPFT special.
Mm-hmm.
And for the $150 level, which comes to just 41 cents a day, that's $12.50 a month.
Mm.
So that's what? 2.5 lattes?
Easily. And you know, I was just thinking, wouldn't it be nice if some of these wonderful, wonderful, hardworking organizations took some of their little overhead money and kind of trickled it down to the radio station who's plugging these events.
Yeah,
no.
It would be nice.
It would be.
But we
won't mention names.
We're not going to charge anything.
No.
We don't make sense like we're charging. But
exactly. But, you know, it is giving, you know.
Yes. We are 501c3.
We
are 501c3, so your donations that come in are tax deductible.
Oh, what more do you want?
But I do need to let you know, since it is the top of the hour, you are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. I'm Chris Arizona. I'm the producer this evening. With me is Jim Crawford.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Coming up here, once we get the magic ring-a-ding-a, is going to be Gigi's segment with Carol Queen.
Yeah.
And what I think we'll do is I'll put a little music in.
And before we go to music, I do want to say that for those that don't know about Carol Queen, she has written quite a few books. She has a doctorate in sexology, and she's written Real Live Nude Girl, Exhibitionism for the Shy, Leather Daddy in the Femme, and quite a number of other books.
Those naughty kind of titles.
Oh, yes.
The kind of titles, you know, you just want to go up to a librarian and has the bun and her hair in a really, really tight bun and go, do you have
Real Live Nude Girl?
Just to see the bun fall off.
Yeah. Leather Daddy in the Femme. Ooh.
So put a little bit of music in. Unfortunately, I grabbed this other bag of Jimmy's, and I haven't. You know, there for a while, we played a lot of Kevin Cahoon. Every single week, it was Kevin Cahoon. Haven't played him in a while.
Oh.
So we're going to play a little Kevin Cahoon.
Great.
And so we're going to play the first one on the CD that we like, which is Doll. He's a cutie.
Oh.
Yeah, he doesn't have good pictures in here.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. But he's cute.
Yeah.
He looks a little rough. So those of you who like a little
twinkish rough trade.
Yeah, rough trade. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, go to his website. You'll find better pictures and video clips of when he was a victim on Law and Order and a theater usher on AMC.
Okay.
I don't know, but let's see. I got to push this button here, and we'll be back in a moment.
Hey, Kevin. world's a short bus. Hey, guess who? I wore cowboy boots to school. Hey, guess who? My hair was big and my skin sucked. Hey, guess who? I ate my lunch alone. I was the last one picked for the team. Shirt to skin, you know you couldn't find me. I got a blue ribbon at the science fair. I wasn't cool enough, I wasn't hip enough for your clique to share. I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd, you beat me up when I was him. So what? I played with dolls, I played with dolls. You got straight A's when I was trying not to fail. You were at the dance, I was home watching Barberman Drow. The yearbook called you the most likely to succeed. While I was sick that day, my photo's nowhere to be seen. I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd, you beat me up when I was 10. So what? I play with dolls, I play with dolls. So what? I play with dolls, I play with dolls, I play with dolls, I play with dolls. Hey, guess who? You don't remember me. Hey, guess who? You're singing to my song right now. That you all have to thank for this birth. It's true what they say, for me shall hear the earth. I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd, you beat me up when I was 10. So what? I play with dolls, I play with dolls. So what? I play with dolls, I play with dolls.
Mix my mouth. then I lost my erection. Now listen to me. Oh, 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 I want you. But no, 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 this won't do. No, no, I won't screw with no protection.
I love it when things work out in perfect timing like that.
Oh, yes.
We got the phone line situated, which is part of the reason why I didn't hear any phones ringing out in the lobby, is because the phones were being forwarded. So, that could explain part of the problem we had. The music you just heard, we had a double shot of Pansy Division. For some reason, I thought the song called Femme in a Black Leather Jacket was kind of appropriate. With Gigi in the house.
Oh, yes.
Before that was No Protection, also by Pansy Division. And starting off that little shot was Kevin Cahoon with the song Doll. You never played with dolls, did you, Gigi?
Oh, yes. All the time.
Still play with dolls.
Uh-huh.
All right. So let me welcome Carol. Are you there? Carol?
It's still on hold.
Carol?
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's right. I got to push this other button.
Ah, there.
Carol, are you there?
Hello, I can hear you. I'm glad.
There you go.
We can hear you now.
Oh, good. Hi, Gigi.
Hey, how you doing?
I have to officially say this so that you know you are on the air.
Great.
Those stupid little federal law rules they've got. So, we finally got our phone situated. We've got Carol Queen here.
Yeah.
Take it away, Gigi.
Well, Carol, I've been following your progress on your new center.
And yes.
It sounds so exciting. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It's extremely exciting, Gigi. I've been, as you know, running the Center for Sex and Culture in San Francisco, which I co-founded with my partner, Robert. And he's on his way in to join in with the interview if you want.
Some oh, that'd be great.
Him too, so we're both here. And we started planning this many years ago and really kind of got it off the ground around the year 2000, 2001 when we got our nonprofit status. And a couple of years ago, two and a half years ago, we got a space and started to do programming. We have a library and archive. We have classes and workshops of all levels, from lectures like in college to totally hands-on workshops for couples, and we try to do all kinds of things, including cultural events. But our biggest event of the year is always the Masturbate-a-thon, which is coming up in May because it's Masturbation Month.
Ah, cool.
So we do all kinds of stuff, and of course, this is a fundraiser, but it's also a consciousness raiser too.
Ah, that's great. Well, who does the center serve primarily?
Well, really, the center serves any and all adults of every gender and orientation who are interested in either sexual programming in terms of cultural stuff that would be entertaining or thought-provoking, or people who want to learn more stuff than they learned, say, in high school sex ed class, which is pretty much worthless for helping adults actually know how to conduct an adult sex life. So that adds up to pretty much everybody. Not that I think we've gotten the word out adequately to everyone, but certainly in San Francisco we have a community of people, well, many communities of people, in fact, who take advantage of the center's offerings, because we have some stuff for gay men and some stuff for women only and some stuff for trans folk and some stuff for hetero couples, and it just whoever shows up with an idea that any particular kind of event is appealing to them kind of makes up the constituency of that event. So it's pretty fluid.
Yeah. And I also noticed on the website that you have continuing education programs.
We are about to launch the most exciting thing that we've done so far in a way, which is to do continuing ed for professionals, sex therapists primarily. We're working through the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists, and they are a national group with continuing ed credentialing, which they have agreed to share with us when we can do events that meet their requirements, of course. You know, there's just the Masturbate-a-thon. They're not going to give a therapist credit for going to, I'm sorry to say, but certain other kinds of things. Our first one is in June, and it's scheduled to address chronic illness and pain, and issues having to do with sexuality that are issues because of chronic illness and pain. So we've got a school coming to talk about that.
Well, that's pretty cool, because I know that a lot of times people that are ill or elderly get kind of brushed aside when it comes to sexuality in our culture.
Right, really marginalized. Yeah, that's very true. And we're just the same teacher who's doing that class is organizing one for just ordinary people, possibly the very people who are disabled or chronically ill or whatever, and their partners. So I'm very excited that we're going to, sometime this summer, I think, be able to hold that too. And, of course, the real dream from that, most sex therapists have some access to sex knowledge and sex information and better training than, say, your average therapist about sexual matters. But who we really want to be able to get to for continuing ed is people like medical professionals and regular marriage and family therapists who don't have very much access all the time to a lot of good sex information, and certainly not a sex-positive perspective all the time in their training.
And
so we would like to be able to get to those people, too, because they affect other people every day, of course.
And hopefully to counselors, because I remember in my early years going to a counselor, and I was in an open marriage, and I was out as bi, and me and my ex-wife went to this counselor, and I said, I'm bisexual. And the counselor kind of frowned a little bit and scratched their head and then said, well, this is so unfair to your wife. I said, well, I entered this, you know, openly and honestly here. She understood. And you know, the counselor was just clueless when it came to bisexual issues.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we know that plenty of counselors still haven't even gotten up to speed with gay and lesbian issues, much less bi issues. And then when you look at the whole sexual spectrum, there are so many sort of specific, maybe not sexual orientations, but sexual focus or sexual practice or wants or whatever that the average therapist just hasn't gotten any real information on at all. And, you know, they can look stuff up in a book, but that's not the same thing as being able to comfortably interact with a person. So it's like that. But of course, some of our other programming is meant to bring that kind of awareness and connection into couples' relationships or different things like that. So there's all kinds of stuff going on there all the time. And it has almost a community center focus, too, because different teachers or people in the community who are doing various kinds of sex-related stuff come and work with us. So it isn't just stuff that we come up with. It's things that the community comes up with as well.
Yeah.
It's a pretty exciting way of trying to do it. And really, we're trying to bring academic and, I guess you'd call it, street-level knowledge together in the same place. Because we know that when people learn about sexuality in our culture, they don't always get it from academic or professional sources at all. They get it from wherever they can.
Oh, yes.
And like your radio show and everywhere else. And so we want to try to bring all of that together into one place.
And I don't know if you have heard, but Jimmy decided to give the bisexual segment to another group and has given me this segment as the Sacred Sex Show.
Fabulous.
So
we're
expanding here at KPFT too.
Well, that is excellent, because you, of course, you have many areas of expertise yourself, of course, and that it gives more of the opportunity for you to put out what you've been putting so much energy into.
Oh yes, and that's one of the other questions I wanted to kind of bring up with you is, you know, I know here in Texas, a lot of people aren't aware of the sex positive movement or what it's about or what it is. Can you talk a little bit about the sex positive movement?
Well, sure. The idea of sex positivity is sort of a theory or philosophy or a way of seeing the world that emphasizes diversity, that there isn't just one kind of normal way, quote unquote, to be sexual, or one way that people should aspire to, but that really acknowledges that people are individuals, and also that doesn't try to privilege one kind of sex over another, and also really acknowledges that sex is or could be for everyone a positive and healthy individual expression and way of connecting with other people. And I say it is or could be positive because, of course, we know that for so many people, sex isn't really a positive experience, at least not all the time. And, you know, good for the sex therapist that they're trying to get at those problems. But plenty of people don't even ever take advantage of any resources that there might be to get help around that. People who have had bad sexual experiences, even abusive ones, or just never got enough sex education to understand that it's supposed to be good. Of course, they heard that, but they think there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, blaming the fact that they got really bad sex ed and they just don't know how arousal works in themselves or in a partner. You know, and our culture is very focused on sex and not very good at really empowering people to have good sex. People who do that, to some significant extent, do it on their own. So sex positivity really wants to let people know that there are ways for them to get a better, more comfortable sex life. And then finally, getting back to the diversity issue again, that if that's possible for them and desirable for them, that it's possible and desirable for everybody of every orientation and desire, as long as it's consensual.
Yeah. And, you know, I know in our culture we have so many sexual taboos and so many kind of even moral taboos around
sexuality. That's right, and yet everybody's using sex to get attention from advertisers to Christian churches.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty funny. There's plenty of sex in this culture, that's for sure. It's just not, it's not positively presented.
To me, it seems like it's sexual enticement in advertisement, but you never get the goodies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you never get the goodies, and you never get information either. You know, you don't get real stuff from that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Enticement is fine. It's a kind of an entertainment, but that certainly isn't all there is to it.
But when it ends there, it becomes a prick tease and. It really doesn't feel good afterwards.
I suppose you don't sound like a good consumer who has been taught to sublimate into your wallet there, Gigi.
Oh, I'm not. My hand's in the other pocket.
You got it. Sometimes the pockets have holes in them, too, huh?
Uh-huh. Did Robert have anything he wanted to jump in with? Because he's more
than... Let me see if Robert wants to throw in about the center. I know he'd probably really be happy to tell you about what he's got going on for the Masturbate-a-thon, if you want to hear about that.
Oh, we'd love to hear about that.
That is coming right up. The Masturbate-a-thon is going to be on May 26th. And are you making motions to say... Okay. Robert himself has a chronic pain condition, and he's pretty exhausted tonight. So I think he isn't actually
going to jump in
this time. He's feeling a little exhausted. But
if people want to participate in the Masturbation-thon, how would they get involved?
Well, there's still a little bit of time to buy plane tickets to San Francisco, but there's really two levels of this. One of them, it was started in the first place by Good Vibrations as part of their National Masturbation Month, which was developed after Surgeon General Joycelyn Elders was fired for just saying something sensible about masturbation. And Good Vibes was so upset about that that they thought, what are we going to do? And they devised this month just to try to raise discussion and consciousness about masturbation. And a couple, 3 years later, they started the Masturbate-a-thon in a private way where people would go and get pledges from others to say, I'm going to try to masturbate a certain amount of time on Masturbation Day. Will you pledge me? Just like it would be with a walk-a-thon.
Mm-hmm.
You stay in bed or on the sofa or wherever it is that you do it. And then a few years later, Robert and I decided, in the context of, you know, the San Francisco scene where there are sex clubs, and we used to run a pagan sex party, as you know, called Queen of Heaven, and, you know, we knew that it could be done in a live way. We decided to have it as a group. So now you can do either thing. You can do the Good Vibe style where you masturbate at home like you ordinarily would. That's where you ordinarily do it. And you just get pledges ahead of time, so which gets people to talk about masturbation again. Doesn't get people to look at it necessarily, but it gets people to talk about it. And we really encourage couples to do this together too. If couples have any friskiness and willingness to do this, this is a great way of doing something new together, or getting a, you know, masturbation comfortable relationship to take it to the next level. But that can be so hot and so fun. And it's a great
partner.
Way, of course, for couples to learn about each other's sexuality, and, you know, the real way that your partner touches herself or himself is an important thing to know.
Yeah.
And many, many couples just have no clue what, if anything, their partner does to please themselves, and they don't even think it through. But couples who do think it through think, well, it might be good to know whether or not, you know, she touches her clit on her left or right side, and goes up or down or whatever. This is all useful information.
Yeah.
So the other thing that people can do is come to the actual live Masturbate-a-thon, which the Center for Sex and Culture runs as a benefit for ourselves, and also as a consciousness-raising event. And as I said, it's going to be on Saturday, May 26th, so 2 weeks from tonight. And that's only a little bit of time for people to get into practice, so people should start as soon as possible. And people will get pledges just as the other kind of Masturbate-a-thon, but then they will come and do it in the space. We've got the Porn Palace that's run by Kink.com here, a big, great family of sex websites, Kink.com, which has recently been in the news, maybe even in Texas, because they bought a huge historic building in San Francisco called the Armory,
And all of a sudden, everybody's like, what? A porn company is buying a big historic building. And, of course, the answer is, yeah, nobody else had enough money to buy that building. So they're moving into this big old place that looks like a castle or a dungeon or something, which is perfect for them.
Oh, wow.
And we're using their old quarters, a little smaller, to have this event, and it will be webcast. So the real answer to how people in Houston and the Texas area who might want to participate, they can actually tune in on masturbatathon.com, and that's spelled masturbatathon.com. On that night, we're going to be doing it from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time, so you all have to do the math, figure out the local time, but when that is online, people can give any donation through the secure donation site that we're working with, and then they can see any or all of the Masturbatathon, which will include both, of course, some of the people who are there. Not everybody is going to be filmed who goes there, because some people will want to retain that level of privacy. But some people will say, sure, sign me up and give us their ID and sign a release and do the whole deal. And the other thing we're going to do is have interviews and discussions about masturbation, so you can hear about it even while it isn't going on in front of you, because we expect that at some point, you know, there may not be somebody masturbating all the time for the cameras to shoot. But then again, there might. We never know until it's happening. And we've done this about 5 times before, so we have a pretty good idea that a good time will be had by all. Somebody might break the world record for length of time masturbating, which is currently 8.5 hours for men and 6.5 for women.
Wow.
We don't have a trans record right now, although hopefully this year someone will choose to do that and set one. Because, of course, somebody who is trans-identified can compete just in the male or female category if that's how they want to choose to identify. But if they want to identify as trans and compete, then that would be great, because we don't have anybody who's done that so far. And we have a world record of number of orgasms to break for women. It's 49.
Wow.
That last summer in London at the London Masturbatathon that we went to help host. So, who knows? Maybe somebody will do 50 or more. We'll see.
Excuse me. That sounds pretty cool.
Well, it's a pretty one-of-a-kind event, I've got to say that.
Oh, yes.
But nobody will ever have been in a room quite like it before. And this year it's going to be fancy, because we've got an opera singer to sing us a couple of songs.
Oh, cool.
Because we're always trying to add something new and great to it. We've got two completely new things. The opera singer is one, and the other is that this place, this Porn Palace place, is a building where they shoot porn movies and website photos, of course, and so there are different sets in different rooms, and one of the rooms looks like a barn. It is a barn, actually. Got hay in and everything. And so we're inviting our friends from the furry community, who, if your listeners don't know who that is, are the people who like for erotic or quasi-erotic purposes to dress up in animal costumes.
Mm.
So we're going to have some animals in the barn. We hope we're going to have some ponies, and we might have some other kinds. We know we're going to have at least one cat.
Oh, cool.
And ponies and a cat, you know, that always goes together. Lots of times there's a barn cat. But we don't know. We might have wolves and coyotes and all kinds of crazy animals in the barn.
Yeah. In fact, we did a show, I guess it was a year or two ago, on the furries.
Furry community, yeah.
Yeah.
And not all of those folks are explicitly sexual around there. They're costuming, of course, so not everybody who's a furry is necessarily going to feel like this is relevant to them, but we want to invite everybody who might want to stretch and who can fit their hand in their suit.
Oh, yes.
To come on down and get in the barn with the other animals.
That's cool. I'm on a listserv now for Sacred Horrors, and also for people that do sex healing work. If people in that category are interested in some of the things that the center offers, what could they expect?
Well, the sacred sex kind of stuff that we do is intermittent. There will be occasional workshops that are really relevant to that kind of stuff. And, of course, anybody who is going into sacred sex to explore sexuality from a spiritual point of view might find that even if a class or a workshop on a particular kind of practice doesn't have a spiritual overlay about the way it's being taught, that many practices can be come at from that direction if the person thinks about it and experiences it in that way. So lots of the BDSM stuff might be relevant to this. Lots of the regular vanilla sex practice might be as well. And so far, we don't have any regular tantra practitioners here right at the moment. But we've got a men's yoga class, nude yoga for gay men, and we've got our spirit and flesh group of gay men. Although they're co-sponsoring a co-sexual class in a couple of weeks, so it's going to be women as well as men. They've got a woman to co-facilitate with them. And they do ritualistic stuff around body image and the role of sexuality in their lives and all kinds of body positive and sex positive and spirit positive stuff. They're actually a group of men that were meeting at the Metropolitan Community Church, which many of your listeners may know is a primarily LGBT-focused church.
Yeah.
And it's a Christian church, but has a lot of room in it for sort of alternative spiritual practice, since so many LGBT people have explored paganism or Eastern spirituality to try to find a more queer-positive space for themselves. And so I would call the guys at Flesh and Spirit not specifically Christian, but certainly a sacred sex organization, and we sponsor them.
Do you have any long-distance learning programs over the Internet?
So far, we do not have any Internet programming, but we certainly hope we're going to be able to do that. And I would hope as early as this year. We know that that's something that we would like to go toward, and it's mainly just it's a matter of, you know, getting the right people in the door who want to volunteer, because so far we don't have much of a payroll to offer anyone who can help us master that technology and make sure we've got all the technological pieces in place as well as the know-how.
Yeah.
And once we have that kind of stuff together, I am quite sure that some of our classes and workshops at least are going to be things that we'll try to webcast on the net. And I'm supposed to be doing any second now some podcasting for Good Vibrations, but I'm sure that when that starts to happen, I will link to it from the center as well, so that I can kind of do double duty with both roles, because of course the focus of Good Vibrations and of the center is really so close. It's obviously Good Vibes is a business that sells sex toys and products as well as focusing on education and sex positive values, but we do all of that except sell sex toys at the center. So And the Good Vibes is a great supporter of ours and has collaborated with us on a lot of our programming. So I feel sure it will be fine for me to sort of double dip that way. And I've been blogging for about the last year, not quite a year, including a three-part blog on our trip to London for the Masturbatathon. So if people want to look at carolqueenblog.com, they'll see that stuff. Or they can find it from the center's website, which is sexandculture.org. I mentioned masturbatathon.com. We have that site, too, to just focus specifically on talking about masturbation and the Masturbatathon. But our primary site where people can see what's coming up, if they, for example, are going to come to San Francisco for a visit, they might want to look at our events page before they come to see if there's anything they might want to attend. And that's sexandculture.org.
Well, one thing I'd like to see, I don't know if it could happen this year, but have all across the country masturbation-thon parties where
that
people gather together.
Thing to organize.
Huh?
Yeah, you know, maybe one of the things we can try to do next year is to get people who are interested in that to let us know sort of earlier in the spring, and we can put up a list of, it was sort of like the move-on house parties got started, right, where there's just got to be a central location to collect the contact info of people who want to sponsor such a thing, and then people in their region just get in touch with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be a great thing. Maybe we can make a little how to hold your own masturbatathon kit to put on the website so people can figure out how to do it. Figure out how to do it. How do you do it? You invite a bunch of people over to your living room and put sheets over the furniture and go for it, right? But, I'm sure there are things that someone who has never hosted such a thing would want to think through.
Want some safe sex rules and guidelines.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great thing to do, but you do have to you do have to know what kind of what to expect if you're going to host such a thing.
I have another question about the center. What about people working in the street, sex workers?
Well, you know, we are really fortunate in San Francisco to have a great organization that does not just street outreach, but makes makes space for sex workers at every level to get health care and support. And it's the St. James Infirmary. And we have a pretty close relationship with them. And they are organized by sex workers and healthcare workers. And anybody who is or has ever been a sex worker can go, there and get free healthcare. So there's a lot of programming that they do that is specific to the needs of street workers, which is really a great, great thing. And we have done some sex industry specific programming, although we haven't yet done anything that is aimed specifically for street workers. And of course, the real issue with street workers and something like the center is street work tends to be such a survival level economy, although sometimes it's not that, but often that is what it is for people.
Yeah.
That getting people to take some time off to come inside to a center to sit in a classroom or even to sit around and have a support group doesn't seem like those folks' primary priority. So
right.
I'm really grateful and glad that the St. James Infirmary is there to do that kind of stuff and do it without the added issue that so many street outreach for sex worker organizations have of having a priority of wanting to get those people off the street as a primary thing, because that's of course often the best for a person, but there has to be an alternative, you know, a good positive alternative for them. And sometimes it's not what the person wants and not what they're ready for. And to just go at this with a sex positive and a sex worker positive and sex workers' well-being first perspective instead of having an agenda on top.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate that the infirmary has that, because not every organization that helps sex workers out does have that.
Earlier you mentioned a little bit about some programs for transsexuals in
right.
the trans community. Can you talk
right.
a little bit more about that?
We have had a couple of art events, art and culture events, that have been organized specifically around the trans community or by trans community folk that have been really terrific. And
yeah.
we... on a regular basis in our event nights where we have, say, readers or readers in music and, you know, burlesque and different things like that, we often have trans performers come in and participate. But we have another clinic, actually. It's not the St. James Infirmary. It's called the Tom Waddell Clinic in San Francisco. It's an LGBT health center that has a trans program that is really one of the main ways that many trans folk in San Francisco get their health care, and often how they get their first access to hormones and support on transition.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tom Waddell Clinic is a really important entity in San Francisco for especially that part of the trans community that doesn't have good health care elsewhere. And Robert, throw something else in. What, Robert? We had their anniversary party at the center last summer, which was a terrific all-trans performer event. And, of course, it was people from all over the LGBT community, health community, and the political world in San Francisco who went, who attended as guests. But all the performances were trans artists and singers. It was great.
Oh,
and then
wow.
we had David Steinberg, who has taken a series of really lovely portraits of the women who hang out at Divas, which is a trans club. And a lot of the women at Divas are women of color, and many of them are immigrants, and all somewhere on the trans spectrum, from just beginning to transition or not even taking hormones but thinking about it, to
full-on sort of sex reassigned in the more traditional mold. And the women there are, a lot of them are performers, and he took some lovely pictures and put them up on the walls. And a great supporter of the Center for Sex and Culture is the general manager of Good Vibrations, Teresa Sparks, who is just this very day on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle, because she has been elected the head of the police commission.
Oh, wow.
She's a trans woman. So that's a first, I think, pretty much anywhere in the United States.
Wow.
Somebody is that high profile, and we're lucky to have her as a very devoted friend at the center. So she's turned us on to another photographer that we hope to have a show for at some point in the future, who has taken some really beautiful trans portraits, too.
Yeah. I've been doing more and more on educating people about intersex issues.
Yes.
And that's something that's been, well, you know, it's close to my heart, being a hermaphrodite.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things I still find appalling, I still can't be the gender I was born to be legally.
Yeah.
Are there any programs in the San Francisco area kind of geared at intersex issues?
We have ISNA, the Intersex Society of North America, I believe based in the Bay Area again. If it's national headquarters aren't here, it started in the Bay Area and then it went to Seattle. But
yeah.
If national headquarters aren't back here, it's got a very large local presence in San Francisco, and they're doing things around here all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we've been on, you know, sort of co-sponsorships of things with ISNA a time or three, and I'm sure that we'll do more things with them as time goes on. In particular, I'm very interested in trying to collaborate with somebody from ISNA on one of our continuing ed programs, to get the therapist community up to speed on this, because, as you know, the helping communities in general, certainly medical doctors, but therapists too, are just woefully undereducated about this.
Yeah.
And as intersex people have stood up and started speaking for themselves, the discourse is a lot different than it was back in the day when they used to, you know, measure a tiny baby's phallus to figure out if it should be a clitoris or a penis. And, you know, that's literally, as you know, what they do.
Oh, yeah.
And always what they did in the old days is pull out a little ruler.
Yeah.
Which seems pretty mechanistic, given the fact that there's a whole human being attached, and if you're going to do surgery on that little thing, there's so many things can go wrong. So I'm firmly of the opinion that somebody who is born gender indeterminate should be, you know, given as little treatment to be made quote-unquote normal as possible, and instead that there's a time when someone gets old enough to be able to start making their own decisions. But if people make decisions for them when they're infants, those decisions cannot always be reversed.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody has had surgery done on a micropenis to turn it into clitoris, then that those nerve endings have been affected forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is that, and this is, I'm on the intersex listserv also, and a lot of the intersex are starting to move away from ISNA.
Really?
Because they are still kind of promoting this, once you come to a certain age, you should choose male or female.
Oh.
But nothing should be done until you get to that age, whatever that right. age is.
Right. But then the assumption is you're going to fall one way or the other.
Right. And that, you know, the Intersex Society of North America still kind of pushes that choose one or the other, but you can't be both.
Interesting. So that really puts a certain percentage of intersex folk either on the transgender continuum or sort of on a continuum crossing that continuum, and make some of the sort of the multi-gendered or bi-gendered possibilities a little more.
And one of the books I just finished reading is Raven Caldera's Hermaphrodites.
Great.
And I was so inspired because he was promoting, or she, I guess it's both. was promoting this concept of being both really honoring our heritage, because hermaphrodites have been around from the beginnings of time. And
have always had this really special place in many cultures. Yeah, it's so interesting that
but not only
America of the 20th century, there was just no place.
Well, not only no place, but in ancient times, there's also a function.
Yeah.
And a whole path you could follow.
Yeah.
Now, in our culture, we eradicate the third gender.
Right.
And it almost seems to me kind of leaning towards that kind of Nazi, you know, you've got to be, let's get rid of this thing, you know.
Right. Well, and as you well know, there's a whole spirituality to that as well. Because in most places there's been a spiritual understanding about third gender, or third and fourth, or however many there are. And our particular predominant spiritual system in the United States, Christianity, isn't having any of that.
And
is probably one of the influences that has actively worked against this. I don't think it's any coincidence that in Mel Gibson's super violent movie that the devil was portrayed as a genderqueer or hermaphroditic character, and you know, that's a pretty strong message to be sending out, even in a medium like that. I mean, you would think that today there would be more open discussion about this kind of stuff. Well, you know, we're having it now, but
yeah. That's the thing I've brought up, you know, over and over on this show. You know, 1 out of 2,000 at conservative estimates are born with kind of mixed genitals.
Right.
And yet,
1 out of 2,000 is not, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, and but we never hear their voices.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to step out and be one of the voices to speak out.
Well, I think that's really important because especially you've got the means to speak out to large numbers of people, and so many people don't have that.
Yeah, but I also get emails from time to time from people that are living in shame and doubt and thinking they're some kind of freak.
Yeah.
And have gone through surgeries, and some of them don't even have much feeling down in their crotch.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's just this whole shadow around them.
Well, you know, when a pediatric surgeon does surgery like that, that surgeon never thinks they're going to have to speak to that little tiny patient all grown up about their orgasm.
Yeah.
You know, they're not thinking that far through.
No.
But, you know, those guys all have the first do no harm rule, their profession, and they need to be brought to understand that kind of influence is creating harm for people later on.
And
there's
also
gotta be a better way of doing it.
Yeah. But not only that, I've also known of kids that were going through the process of having genetic reassignment surgery, and word got out in the medical center that, hey, we've got a hermaphrodite, or we've got a intersex person, and they'll sneak into the patient's room and lift up the covers and peek. And it's like, without even asking the patient.
Yeah.
And all kinds of atrocities go on.
And
like
when
that.
That's kids, that's, you know, kids, that's such, I mean, it's a serious if that happens to an adult, but when it happens to a kid, it's even worse.
Yeah. And I didn't mean to get onto the intersex thing too deep, but
well, no, you know, it's a very important issue, just because it's so little understood, and the ramifications of what medical policy and cultural policy are so astounding on these people. But what folks don't understand who are not intersex is that if 1 in 2,000 people are picked out as being different in this way, then that reinforces everybody's gender segregation.
Yeah. And the other thing I tried to bring up was, you know, and I remember talking to actually a group of pagans one night around a campfire about this, saying, you know, what if doctors changed your gender when you were an infant? How would you feel about it? And, you know, we got into a pretty good discussion about it. And then I said, well, why should they do that to me? And it took me over an hour of explaining before they finally got the light on, light bulb came on, where they thought, okay, third gender is legitimate.
Right, right.
And
and if it takes an hour to discuss that with pagans, think how long it would take for non-pagans. I have to say, I think that it's really worth saying out loud that every time you have a campfire discussion like that, or talk about it to a group, that you might be talking to people who did have their gender changed as kids, or mm-hmm. confirmed, quote unquote, as the doctors would like to call it, who don't even know it, because nobody ever told them. Because, you know, if our moms can't talk to us about comfortably about menstruation or birth control or condoms and sexual functioning and safe sex, and then how do we expect that it's going to be easy for our parents to talk to us about, oh, yes, and then we put you in the hospital to get your clitoris made small. It's very common.
In fact, I met a lesbian.
People who have had this happen not to have had it disclosed to them what exactly those surgeries were.
I have a lesbian friend that is now, after talking to me and learning, is certain that she had her clitoris amputated.
Yeah.
Made smaller.
Yeah.
And she says she lost some feeling in it, and, you know, she's had a lot of difficulties, and I think a large part of it is that our bodies do remember, even if...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, you can't tell me that even if our bodies don't remember what happens in surgery, and that's a whole interesting philosophical discussion, there has been change in our nerve pattern and in our very body's dimensions.
Yeah.
And that's not something that, you know, it's total wishful thinking for the medical profession or anybody else to think that that will go away with no effect. It's just wishful thinking, and I don't even know where they came up with it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it certainly is, Gigi. Well, I'm glad that you're out, talking it up, and that other people are too, because...
Well, it kind of dawned on me.
That people just don't understand.
Yeah. Well, it kind of dawned on me one night, dancing naked around a pagan fire. I realized everybody was looking at what the illusion the doctors created between my legs and thinking, boy.
Yeah.
And yet, what's between the legs isn't our gender. It's only a part of our gender.
That's right.
And I know I'm wired very differently, and that I have female orgasms as well as male orgasms. I started out that way.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have to learn it like a lot of males have to go through a lot of tantric training to be able to achieve that.
Right.
It just came to me naturally, but also the emotional side. I mean, they being dyslexic, they put me through more neuropsychs than I can count. And on every one of them, there's this kind of red flag went up around that I was atypical gender responses for a male.
Yeah.
And yet, it was kind of this blame the victim mentality.
Yeah. Well, you've made lemonade to a certain extent, and that's a great thing, but I have to say that this culture needs, I mean, and it's not just about this issue, it's about all kinds of issues having to do with the culture's shame and sort of calcified feelings about what's quote-unquote normal, either in a sex or gender context. And that's exactly the kind of stuff that the Center for Sex and Culture hopes to be able to broaden people's minds around, because even if we talk about mostly things that are not a particular individual's cup of tea or specific interest, we hope that everybody understands that we're making more space for all of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Who we are. And, you know, we'll always continue to broaden our programming as best we can. You know, there's only so many hours in the day and days in the week to
to develop programming and only so many people to sign up for classes, but it's worth it. It seems to me, us being out there as an entity, just to say we're not just for straight people, we're not just for gay people, you know, we acknowledge all kinds, not just LGBT either. I mean, yeah. It's all kinds of people, and people are really sexual individuals, and the more that we just grasp and respect that, it seems to me, the less room there will be for all of these sex-based phobias that are floating around that you've experienced in your life, and so have I, and so many of us who are listening,
and
even if they haven't manifested themselves the same way.
Yeah, and one of the things I bring up when I talk to pagans around the fire or do radio shows is that, you know, it's this whole kind of binary gender system isn't just harmful for hermaphrodites, it's harmful for everybody.
That's right.
It creates rigid roles for one versus another, and it creates a power dynamic that says one's better than the other, or stronger than the other, or this or that than the other. And it, you know, there's a kind of philosophy behind this. When you start looking at a spectrum instead of a binary system,
yeah,
all of a sudden it's harder to put those kind of judgmental rules.
Yeah. When I was editing homosexuals back in the mid-late 90s, that was absolutely one of the things that I was trying to get across. Me and my co-editor, Lawrence Schimmel, were trying to make sure that we put a broad spectrum of ways that people could be queer down in this book.
Yeah.
And I think that was a really telling thing, just to use people's personal stories that way. So, you know, there's never too many opportunities for us to tell our stories for each other and to sort of educate each other. I think it's a really important role of, you know, the radio show that you're doing, and all sorts of ways that we manage to find new ways of understanding this question of diversity, because we're not given good tools in our culture to handle it. And you know, we're talking about sex and gender diversity now, but you could say the same thing about spiritual diversity and racial diversity and all kinds of things.
Well,
you know, when it's an either or and one side is better situation, the system is gonna have trouble.
Well, Lorraine Hutchins has identified something like 17 distinct genders in human beings.
And that's probably only just starting.
And that's, yeah, those are like, I think top of the iceberg.
yeah, the tip of the iceberg, exactly.
I need to step in real quick and let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We're in the middle of our spring pledge drive, and we ask for you to call in your pledge of support at 713-526-5738. And show the station that a program like this and a conversation like this is relevant and important to you. You can pledge anywhere from $35 for full member for the beginning membership. I believe it's $25 for seniors and students. All the way up the line for how much ever you can give. We have thank you gifts starting at the $60 level. Remember the two big things we like to promote on our show. There's the cocktails for KPFT. Give up one drink a month for KPFT. That's a $60 pledge, $5 a month. To support the station, we'll send you a T-shirt. Oh, and, of course, there's the KPFT cranker. Where else can 30 seconds of cranking give you 30 minutes of pleasure? It's a crank-operated emergency radio with flashlight, cell phone charger, AM, FM, 7 weather stations, and the weather alert feature. And you get that for a thank you gift of $150. And like I said, 713-526-5738. Or you can go online to kpft.org, put in your pledge safely and securely online. Remember, we are a 501c3 organization, and so all donations are tax deductible.
Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the conversation.
And we're talking with Carol Queen in San Francisco about her new center, and I'd like to kind of recap a little bit about the center, and I think we're coming to our time pretty soon.
Yeah.
I'm getting a different signal here. Oh, okay. We get till 15 after, so.
Okay,
But anyway, tell us a little more about the center for those just tuning in.
You bet. Well, Gigi, my phone's making funny noises, and I apologize for that to you and all your listeners.
Well, it's not coming in on my end, so.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm just hearing it on my side. That's great. Well, the center is, as far as we can figure out, the only place in the country where this bunch of things come together around sex education. We've got a library and archive, as I said. We've got classes and workshops of all levels of explicitness, from not explicit at all, just didactic, like a lecture in college or somewhere, all the way to everybody takes their clothes off and tries it out right there. So that's a very unusual modality.
Yeah.
And we're a nonprofit. We're completely supported by donations and a few small grants that we get, and you know, maybe touch wood, someday we'll get bigger grants, but so far it's the programming that we do and people in the community wanting to support us that makes us go, as well as these larger fundraising and cultural events like the Masturbate-a-thon. And this is for people of all genders and orientations. We do not have a specific or limiting understanding of who might want to come to our programming. We try to make it relevant to as many kinds of people as possible. And the only limitation is that youth and kids can't come in to our programming. They are already getting their own sex education, generally pretty bad, at home and at school. And we know that when they turn 18 or over, they will seek out information. And when they do, we hope they will stumble on us and come be part of our adult constituency. Because so far, there is no truly good, widespread sex education for the youth of this country. One of the things we have done and will do more of in the future is try to look at ways to help support parents to do better sex ed for their kids. Because one of the reasons that parents do such bad sex ed is they're nervous about it. And the other reason is they got bad sex ed, too, so they never had a really great model.
And, you know, one of the things I bring up in Temple often is how in ancient, and even some cultures today in India, they teach the Kama Sutra, which is kind of a sex manual. Well, it's more than a sex manual. It covers all kinds of things, but
mm-hmm.
definitely
but that's
a
one
very
yeah.
good sex education. What, Carol?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, you know, I think if you can get a copy of the Kama Sutra, that is a really excellent tool for parents to work with kids.
Right. Well, you know, there are a few good books for parents and kids, and we really want to encourage parents to be primary sex educators for their kids, partly because we know that in America today, the sex ed that is being mandated in schools is abstinence only, and it may, if done right and taken seriously by a young person, keep the kid safe and keep the kid non-pregnant, but Robert's over here 3/4 asleep and he's saying, no, it doesn't work. But what I'm going to say is the studies have shown that this kind of sex ed very rarely hits the mark that the people who designed it hope it to hit, and that kids who have had abstinence-only sex education tend to get more sexually transmitted diseases and get pregnant more, have unwanted pregnancies, because they don't have a skill set around reasonable, realistic boundaries and taking care of themselves around sexual functioning, because if you learn to say no, you don't learn to say anything else. And if you don't say anything at all and sex happens, you know, how are you going to insist on a condom when you haven't been taught about condoms?
Yeah.
How are you going to insist on birth control if you haven't been taught enough about birth control? And besides that, and this is the thing that
you know, I think those are extremely serious issues. The other serious issue, and it's what we see every day, both at the center and at Good Vibrations when I'm working there, is the adult who doesn't know how to focus on pleasure, or who feels bad about pleasure, shame about their body and pleasure, because the sex ed they got never told them that pleasure was okay or how to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things people do with their bodies sexually is to try to achieve pleasure, and that pleasure is a bonding experience for couples. And, you know, people wonder, it's ironic as hell to me that same-sex marriage is being blamed for the breakdown of heterosexual marriages, which is ridiculous. I mean, who came up with that? And no one has ever been able to explain that logic to me. That logic is in outer space somewhere.
Yeah.
And yet, what really breaks down straight marriages is the kind of sex education that these people insist the kids must get. And mm-hmm. those grow into adults who don't know how to value the pleasure bond. They say they know how to value monogamy. Well, that's good. But if you're not making each other happy and pleasured, then the monogamy is not complete.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got a saying that I came up with for Temple. If the goddess had intended for humans to have sex, she would have given us genitals.
Yeah, you think? And, of course, you could say for the masturbate-a-thon, and if she'd intended us to masturbate, we would be able to reach them.
Yeah. And the other thing I bring up a lot oftentimes is that human females have the clitoris, and it has nothing to do with reproduction. It is designed only for receiving pleasure.
Except possibly for the secondary reproductive effect of not making the human female turn around and run like hell when back then. Yeah. Yeah. There is so much to be said about this, much of which is, you know, in some ways so basic that it's surprising that we have to say it at all, Gigi, but there it is. And you know, the center is in only one place, you know, and we can hopefully make our influence felt and encourage people in other places to do similar kinds of projects or maybe expand later on. Who knows what? That's a sort of a dream that we have that may or may not be a reasonable and realistic dream. But one of the things that we can always do is make sure that we're supporting people like you and others out in other parts of the country who are in a position to speak up.
Yeah.
And I want to tell people again how they can get in touch with us.
Oh, do.
I also want to thank you again for doing what you're doing, where you're doing it, because it's very important indeed. And you know what? I just want to say I know that there is a sex toy shop crackdown in Houston right now.
Yeah.
So I just want to send my condolences out to everybody in that area and tell you that Good Vibes will mail into Texas.
Yes.
And we don't care what those people say.
And one good thing, I don't know what the standing is on it, but I have heard that the dildo law is being challenged.
Is it? Oh, keep me posted on that.
I don't know where it stands right now.
Yeah, I'm sure there'd be a little bit of a fight, but I know you've probably seen Dildo Diaries, and I hope that people in your listening audience have had a chance to, and if you haven't had a chance to see it, folks, you got to see it if you ever do get a chance, because it's about your state, and it's a great, great documentary.
Oh, it is.
So diary. Anyway, the website addresses that people might want to know for me and the center and so forth are I'm at carolqueen.com. That's easy. And then the Center for Sex and Culture is sexandculture.org. And goodvibes.com if people want to see my blog from there or check out any of those toys you can't get in Houston right now.
And also
masturbateathon.com.
Yes. For those that want to masturbate and help a good cause, join in the Masturbateathon.
That's right, and you can get a pledge form at either goodvibes.com or Center for Sex and Culture, and you can ask appropriate friends to pledge you, and it's a very liberating experience, I can tell you that.
And I do want to thank you so much, Carol, for being part of the show tonight. It's so good to have you back on. It's been forever.
It's been forever. It's been at least a year, hasn't it, Gigi?
Oh, yes.
It's been about a year. Maybe it's even been 2 years. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, it's been really nice to chat with you, and I hope I get to see you in the flesh one of these days again, but it's great to be on the show and to be able to talk a little bit in front of your audience.
And it's, you know, it's like, I remember when you came down for the Pagan Festival a few years ago, and people are still talking about that in the pagan community.
Yeah, Glenn did.
Really had quite an influence on everybody.
I'm really very glad and happy to hear that. Thank you for telling me that.
I have people come up to me and go, "Well, is Carol Quinn coming back?" And I said, "Well, I don't know.
Well,
we're going to work on that.
One of these days.
One of these days."
Yeah, you know, I wish they'd start being pro-cloning, because I need to be cloned several times over to go to all the great places I would love to go and spend time with the people I'd love to spend time with.
Yeah.
You know, I do love to travel around to different parts of the country, and one of the things that I think is very interesting about the way my own career has shaped up is that I do probably go to the Midwest and the South Central and stuff more than many of the West Coast or East Coast based folks.
And
it's always really meaningful for me to be able to do that. It's just, I wouldn't be able to put into perspective what I know from here if I didn't try to take it out to there. So
I think it's great that you come down and go places, because it's so needed. You know, I tell people, there's a time I really wanted to move to San Francisco. I said, that would be my home environment. And then one day I realized, no, I belong here. There's nobody here that's a voice.
Well, that's
They've
right.
got a lot of voices in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's right. And I try to give back to various parts of the country by, you know, obviously by writing and, you know, sort of having a presence there that way. But going there, there's no substitute for going there.
Well, thanks again for being on the show. And
thank you.
Stay on the phone line, because I want to talk to you once we go to music for a minute.
Great, okay.
Okay, let's queue up a little. I got a little music queued up here, and let me put her on hold. So
yeah, and then show me how to work this complicated system.
We'll be right back. Going a little old school. I usually like to go a little old school when Jimmy's not here.
Ah,
especially since, you know, I just heard this song. Couldn't believe it. I was flipping through, and they had Trading Places on the Eddie Murphy Dan Aykroyd film, and this was a song playing in the background in one of the scenes. It's Sylvester, Do You Wanna Funk?
I'm Do you want to funk?
In at least 20 years.
You know, occasionally I pull that, you know, either pull that out or go west.
Oh, my God.
You should pull out It's Raining Men.
I don't know if we have that on CD right here.
Hmm.
I didn't bring my full CD collection with me. I'll have it on there.
I'll just scrounge up a copy of it for you then.
Well, I've got it on my, in my CD collection, the Queer as Folk UK first CD. But I didn't bring those. The only CDs I'm still carrying around, I haven't played one this week. I haven't played anything from the hip-hop collection.
Oh.
I haven't played a hip-hop song yet tonight.
Do you have anything from the Forbidden section?
Nothing's forbidden here.
Well, yeah, I have to be careful. I haven't screened his CD.
Oh, yeah, you need to screen, yeah.
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 Deadly.
You don't want the FCC.
Yeah, let's see. I don't know. I'll have to play something here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll do some Big Nug.
Oh.
Do some, yeah. Maybe we'll do. Or maybe I'll save Big Nug for. I'll pick something out here later. I have to play some Homo Hop. I haven't played any this week. I don't need that song.
Ah.
It's time for the round table.
Hello.
Hello. And it's your time to call in your pledge of support. 713-526-5738. No operators are standing by. And we need your pledge of support. We need, you know, somebody.
If you don't pledge, Chris's clothes come off.
Oh.
And we will post them on the internet.
See, they're not just wrong.
You just need to know where to go to find them.
Exactly.
The easiest way is with a membership to
pick your website.
Mm-hmm. Actually, as far as I know, there is only two sites.
Two.
One of them that I approved of. The other ones that just showed up. That was, you know, like 3 years ago. A friend of mine went to this one website and sent me an instant message saying, "Hey, one of those private pictures that you sent me, I just saw on this one website." And I'm like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." And I was so nervous as hell. I just started seeing someone. I was flipping out. So I sent the guy who posted it a nasty little note saying, "You know, I didn't give you permission to put my picture up there. I want it taken down. And if you don't, I'm reporting you to the website," and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, "I'm sorry. Tell me which picture it is, because all the pictures I posted I found on this other website." And I'm like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." And my friend was laughing his ass off at me.
Chris, you're famous.
Exactly, you're a star.
Well, and I was upset about it until I looked, and both the pictures were on the sites that were on had little ratings on them.
Mm.
And I was like a 4 out of 5 stars on one, and, you know, an 8 out of 10. And they're going, "That's a damn B solid average. The hell with it."
Thank you.
Chris, did you hear about Governor McGreevy wanting to be a priest?
Ah, yes.
I'm sure the altar boys are twitching all over the place now.
No.
Episcopal.
Yes.
So he'll leave them alone. Nice. But, you know, he's, yeah. So now you can start writing your McGreevy jokes about him entering the seminary and then getting a rectory.
Yeah, and so forth.
All those sorts of lovely things.
Insert your joke here.
Yeah, insert joke here. You know, after his ex-wife requires him to take down the nude picture of him and his boyfriend from several years ago that's hanging in the bedroom. Just so he can have the kids come over. All right. A couple of stories I got off of course, the world's greatest news gathering source, the Daily Rotten.
Ah, what do you got for us this week?
This one's not gay-related, but I just think it's cute. Atheist offers to send letters post-rapture. Neither snow nor rain nor fire and brimstone will keep Joshua Witter from the swift completion of his appointed rounds come the end of the world. The 24-year-old self-described atheist living in Orlando is the creator of the Post Rapture Post, which bills itself as the postal service for the saved. For as little as $4.99, he will deliver your letters to friends and loved ones left behind after the rapture. As Witter sees it, he will fall to the unsaved to serve as postman of the apocalypse. Do you want to take the chance that your loved ones will have to suffer through your ascension into heaven without knowing how you really felt in your heart? And if you go to their website, there are three levels of postage. And yes, this is slightly more expensive than the postal service. But the class one message is the standard one for $5. Your note is sent via carriers to the recipient of your choice. There's a 1,500 character minimum. And expect a 2 to 6 week delivery for the after the rapture. The class two message is printed on resume quality paper. For those who want a typed message to speak for them after their holy departure. Delivery time is 2 to 6 weeks, 1,500 character. You can get the paper in white, eggshell, goldenrod, and sky blue.
Ooh.
And the big one. For $800, you can get up to 3,000 characters hand-scribed on medieval-style parchment sheets, rolled and wrapped in fine Italian ribbon. This message will be delivered immediately after the rapture, so expect delivery in as little as one day, depending on the transportation options available to those rejected from the kingdom of God.
That's some hate.
And do any of us have people that will get these?
Yeah, we'll be here to
help him.
Exactly.
I need a job. I need a job bad.
They also have greeting cards you can send.
Oh, my God. Sorry you didn't make it? What?
Yeah, basically, yes.
Nanny, boo boo, I made it. You didn't? What the hell? Come on.
Told you so.
Keep your chin up. It could be worse.
Oh.
You should have listened to Jesus. It's not too late. Yeah. Remember, these cards will be delivered only after the rapture occurs. So that'll be interesting. And the thing is this, you know, if you're sending them to someone who's not going to be saved and you're going to be saved and the rapture does come, you know, you're not going to be here to be upset about it. men's t-shirt, baby doll t-shirt. The Rapture Survival Guide.
Oh, my God. Is it a worst-case scenario handbook?
It's just a Bible.
Oh.
The coming days and weeks after the rapture will be a time of great tribulation for those left behind. Imagine a guidebook that could be used to navigate through the difficult period before the return of Jesus. One exists. A leather-bound international Bible.
Oh, my God.
It's an NIV. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been King James.
I mean, but the funny thing is this, you know.
Is that like the Bible for dummies?
This story was carried in USA Today.
it's newsworthy, I guess.
It's interesting, you know, and the guy's cute.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know.
We'll give him that.
Yeah.
So there is a future for those of us who don't get saved, how we can always be post-apocalyptic postmen.
I wonder if you have to take the test.
And you have to worry more about the hounds from hell?
That's a job bonus.
And what's your uniform?
That's what the pepper spray is for.
Oh, trust me. If you're bound to hell, you need to be wearing shorts and a Panama hat. From back in my old stomping ground when I was a child, Philadelphia area, a Philadelphia police officer was arrested yesterday for allegedly having forced another man to take part in a Fairmont Park tryst.
Ooh.
Officer Michael Page was charged with unlawful restraint, involuntary, deviant sexual intercourse,
and related offenses stemming from an incident which occurred last month.
Sounds like a simple night.
I've heard of B&D, but come on.
You know, there's a whole section of videos there of cops there supposedly forcing somebody. You'll find over in Hollywood. several hours before the city was blanketed by a sleet storm on May 16th. Already sounds like
hell froze over.
Page pulled over a 95 Lincoln Continental in Fairmont Park.
I'm surprised that they're not calling it a rape.
Now, Chris, you got this off the Daily Rotten and not Nifty, right?
No, this is from Daily Rotten.
Make sure you didn't get this off of Nifty now.
Well, they're not calling it rape. That is surprising. Page, who is on duty and fully uniformed. Quote, failed to adhere to police department policy while conducting a search of the vehicle.
Damn.
He allegedly took one of the male occupants from the Lincoln to a secluded section of the park and engaged in, quote, non-consensual sexual activity. Unquote.
I'm the gay policeman. Really, I am.
The unidentified male victim notified police officials. He was temporarily assigned to desk duty while the allegations were being investigated. Mm. And they also tell you where he's been assigned to now, this cop.
And he's hot, too.
So we've got that.
Where did he get reassigned to?
Houston.
Parking in the rear.
Are getting parked in the rear.
So. Hillary's in rear.
And now off to our newest bastion of news source, TollRod.com. I think last week or two ago, we were talking about in Fort Lauderdale, a anti-gay announcement was made over the airport police PA system. Follow-up to it is they found out it was a skycap who got on the PA system at Fort Lauderdale Airport. And, let's see, what did he say? There, he came on there approximately. There's a recorded message that basically said that a man who lies with another man as he would with a woman is subject to death. And there was a gay couple in the airport at the time, and
go figure.
They were a little upset, and they weren't flight attendants either.
No.
Surprising. But they identified the prankster as Jethro Monstime.
Oh my God! Surprise. Could you get any more southern?
A skycap who works. It should be worked, I think. It really should be worked. Officials said that Sunday night he admitted playing the verse over the PA system twice. It was a prank that he downloaded the verse onto his cell phone and played it over the intercom. He was not aware that a gay couple was in the airport and said it was just a coincidence and had no ill intent.
We just drive.
Yeah.
We don't take planes.
They're not sure if it would be... if he actually committed a crime, though. But they are recommending that he be fired. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. But that story is still pretty new.
He's only 23.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Don't worry, he's got his whole life ahead of him.
He's going to apply for rapture.
Right?
They need his kind.
Tammy Faye Messinger, the former Tammy Faye Baker, who is battling all sorts of cancers right now, has announced that her doctors have really stopped treating the cancer, and she's leaving it up to God and her faith. She's in a lot of pain, and she has gotten worse. And Tammy Faye has been a very good friend of the community.
Yes.
She's Christian with a big C.
She loves God and everybody and homosexuals.
Yeah.
True Christian, then.
See, Jimmy brought her around when they were doing their talk show.
Mm-hmm.
When her and Jimmy were doing their talk
show. Yeah.
You know, he had something to do with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was a little bi. And if their son would take out that lip ring, he'd be cute.
That's true.
18,000 Mexicans dropped everything
to get their picture taken in Mexico.
I'm not going.
Okay,
there.
Where's this?
I'm not going.
Spencer Tunick, who does new photography on the large scale. He did the one called Naked States, where he got someone to get naked in every state in the country. Got 18,000 Mexicans to get nude and lay down in.
Roy's drooling over here.
Yeah. You know it.
He's going to need a defibrillator in a minute.
And let's see, what is
it? Energy.
Chris, take it easy.
This is the Colo, which is framed by a cathedral, city hall, and the National Palace, the official seat of government.
Chris, take it easy. You know I got a bad heart. Take it easy on me here.
You can't really see it that well,
no.
But...
Oh, darn.
It's one of those things. He's done several of these. I mean, gathered thousands of people to lay naked in Times Square.
Yeah, I think I've heard of this.
He did an event at an old Air Force base, and on the runway where planes would take off with nuclear bombs, he had thousands of people lay naked on that same runway for kind of symbolism and.
Well, and he also has them lay specifically to form art.
Yeah, I mean,
I've seen that. He does really good work.
Some of it, I mean, they filled this entire square, you know, with 18,000 people, and they're all just laying in one direction. And it's, you know, when he does the large ones there, you can't see much, but you can figure out that, you know, those are people down there, and, you know, everyone's supposed to just lay calm and, you know, not get happy.
Like, looks like a bathhouse.
I smells a little better.
Not much better.
Ooh, ouch.
I was over at a laundromat a couple days ago, and they were mopping the floor, so there's a smell of bleach, the sound of washing machines, and this really strong cleanser going down. It's like, what is it, 5 o'clock at Midtown?
Get out the peppermint.
Let's see. Oh, here we go, from the category of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh, good Lord.
Navy discharged a gay sailor, called him back to active duty, then kicked him out again.
What?
Jason Knight, a petty officer second class, made headlines last week after an article in the Military Stars and Stripes revealed that the officer had been called back to active duty even after telling military officials that he annulled his marriage because he was gay. He has been discharged again from the services. He was notified yesterday because of his recent media interviews, his services will no longer be required. Jason Knight was an exemplary sailor who gladly returned to his active duty when our country needed him. Now, despite his dedication and service and the praise of those who he served alongside, the Navy has decided to fire him because he dared to tell his story and made a public face to the courage of lesbian and gay service personnel. And it's another cutie. No age, no, where's he at?
So now he's firing his torpedoes somewhere else, huh?
In a deep, deep blue sea.
Nothing like men in uniform.
Just go for the semen joke.
Exactly.
What, semen overboard?
Waste not, want not.
All right, go for a simple swab the poop deck. Got that kind of smirk in that picture. Let's see. Yeah, by the way, this where we're going for, like I said, is towelroad.com. TOWLEROAD.com. It's a blog with homosexual tendencies.
No. I want to look at that Aussie bum.
Anyway.
The Wonder Juck swimwear. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those Australian...
swimmers.
You know, it's a Speedo that lifts and separates the front. Sort of thing.
A periscope.
make it look like you got bigger than you usually have.
In the day.
Full steam ahead.
Oh, let's see.
Ramen brother.
Kind of like a bustier in men, huh? Friend of a bustier.
It lifts and separates.
supposedly, MySpace has recently realize that there are gay and lesbian people.
No. It's about time.
No. There for a while on their website where you got to where you put in your orientation, for a little while, gay lesbian was left off.
Mm-hmm.
So it was bi, straight, or transgendered, I guess, was the other one, or
no, it was
that one to offer.
Yeah, for a while, when I started out, I had mine as gay, and I finally just took it off, because it's like, if you haven't figured it out by now, you must be blind.
Ukrainian drag queen is favorite to win a Eurovision song.
Oh, wow.
What?
Now that's an outfit.
There you go.
Yeah, that's...
She's a star.
Verka Serduchka is the current favorite to win the Eurovision Song Contest.
That's their version of the American Idol.
But,
have you seen that dub picture of Chris and Blake? Where they're sitting in that chair, arm in arm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Pictures going through my mind.
Mm. Yeah, then I saw the, you know, where they showed, hey, it's a fake. And
yes.
here's the original. Here's the...
Uh-huh.
Here's what it came from.
But, you know, I still think there's something going on there.
Well, yeah, no. There's got to be more. There's got to be more gay guys on American Idol than Jim Varros and, you know, the guy who jerked off in front of one of the stagehands in the bathroom.
Yeah, what about the one that used to sing all women's songs? He didn't sing any male songs. No, this was like a couple of idols ago. It was an African-American guy. I think he had dreadlocks or something.
Oh, he was a teacher. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, and he was good, though. But
He was good, but everybody was like, why don't he sing men's songs? It's like,
Oh, look at it. Gay American Idols. I saw Clay Aiken on Jimmy Kimmel the other night.
Oh, yeah.
You mean Ambassador Clay Aiken.
Ambassador, whatever.
Ambassador to what?
He was a good ambassador. They showed him over in Afghanistan.
Oh.
You know, wearing the burqa. Some gay pride event news.
Ooh.
Rome Gay Pride has been postponed to avoid a Bush distraction.
Well, that leaves it wide open.
We're talking about the bad Bush. Yay for activists.
To us.
They're not talking about the Bushes that I usually like.
Now to us, that's a bad Bush.
Gay activists in Rome have moved the date of the city's gay pride parade due to a scheduled visit by George W. Bush following his participation in the Group of Eight summits in Germany.
They should have left it the same.
Because of the onslaught of media attention the president's visit is expected to create, organizers have decided their message would be better served if they waited a week.
Mm. We know that the Queen was at the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she was there in 1770 as well. So George W. Bush.
Oh, yeah, he slept up.
Well, yeah, he slept a lot.
Well, see, yeah, I mean, they, you know. The two of them do have something in common.
Mm-hmm.
They both got their jobs because their daddy gave it to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty much.
They weren't really qualified, but, you know, they... get this other story about gay pride out of
King George.
Out of New York. The Pride Fest in New York is canceled.
No
way.
What?
The Heritage of Pride forced to cancel Pride Fest 2007. New York City's mayor's office and the Community Assistance Unit denied a permit for Heritage of Pride's 15th annual Pride Fest Street Festival, which was to be held in Chelsea on June 23rd.
It's ridiculous.
The general membership of Heritage of Pride, the producers of New York City's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender pride events, had decided on a May 11th deadline for the city to reverse its decision. This date was chosen in order to give the organization enough time to produce the event as it had been planned. HOP, Heritage of Pride, received formal notification of the denied permit on May 10th, and is in process of filing an appeal for symbolic purposes.
Now that's
With it being down there in the Chelsea, that's the neighborhood where Stonewall happened.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the fest. That's not the actual.
That's not
parade.
The parade.
So we have to keep that in mind.
Yes, they decided to cancel it. The decision to cancel is grounded on the belief that we must provide a safe, accessible festival for the entire community. Canceling the Pride Festival was decided after much discussion and voting in favor of it by the committee. In making this decision, had some individuals express their sadness and anger about the proposal to cancel it. The Pride event, one of the five events that they produce. Others expressed outrage that the city was denying a permit less than 2 months before it was supposed to happen. The reason why they did that is because, let's see, they say public safety. Hundreds of thousands of people are already at Pride Fest and arriving from the march, because it was scheduled to be, they wanted to do it, they're only going to be allowed to do it on the same day as the Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
There were arguing people at the march would be crammed into the narrow, potholed, and unevenly paved Washington streets of the West Village. It's only a matter of time before something sets off a stampede that will seriously injure people.
Mm.
Accessibility. A Pride event should be welcoming to everyone in our community. A massively overcrowded event is a major deterrent to participation. Even if the streets were smoother and wider, wider and smoother paved, it's inaccessible by public transportation and keeps physically challenged people from enjoying the Pride. They made a commitment to the Chelsea's businesses, the lack of volunteers on a day like that. You know, there's three major Pride events on that day, and it's difficult to get people to come to that one. In fact, they had a person die working the Pride Fest of the year before because they didn't know he had a heart condition.
Oh, no.
And the other thing is, it's not, there's no pride in being forced back into a dark, dank closet. For too long, LGBT community members have taken taken our Pride events for granted. The 15th Annual Pride Fest in Chelsea was to be the rebirth of a beautiful, innovative community event involving folks of all ages and sexual orientations. But it appears somebody in the mayor's office doesn't want to see a stronger LGBT community partnering with support of straight and gay businesses, cultural institutions, and nonprofit groups. Here's a little note that I think stands out to the people here in Houston. Remember the purpose of Pride events. They are first and foremost an active participatory commemoration of the Stonewall Riots, which occurred in New York City in June 1969, and which launched the LGBT liberation movement around the world.
In June, not September.
And for more information on this, go to www.hopinc.org. That's Heritage of Pride, Inc., hopinc.org. It's a volunteer-managed, nonpartisan, tax-exempt, not-for-profit corporation that organizes LGBT Pride events in New York City.
Hmm.
And it's something that I had that didn't... I got this not through my normal gay news sources. This came out through a musicians group that kicked this out first, and I, you know, sent it around to LSA and Louie, people here in Houston. I haven't seen it hit the gay news part on there, but so much big talk we've had about Pride here in Houston and
them wanting to move the parade downtown.
Pom pom and wanting to move it, and then, you know, I don't know how much coverage you may have heard of this, but Seattle just recently went through a thing where they took their Pride parade, and because, you know, the city told them, you know, you can do better doing it downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you the moon and the stars and all this other stuff.
Didn't happen, did it?
They're bankrupt.
Oh.
That thing.
And they're not going to have those events this year because they moved it out. They took it away from the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see.
See, I don't understand. It's just not broke. Don't try to fix it.
Well, you know, in a way, you know. Look at it this way. What was it? 10 years ago, Pride Parade wasn't broke. Well, we moved it tonight. I can somewhat see the logic.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhat.
Well, I like the night parade. I think it's cool.
I mean, I can see where somebody coming from the outside,
mm-hmm.
like they seem to be, who have some brass balls on them.
Mm-hmm.
If you were at the announcement of Grand Marshals, you know they've got some.
Yeah, I was there.
There was one person there talking that, you know, she had her ovaries on the outside, and they were brass.
And large.
She was, you know, she took the Wonder Bra off from top and put it around her ankle, put it around her knees, just to support some of the comments that were made. I think she was thinking she was at a less hostile crowd.
Let's just put it this way. I think if they would have said, if they didn't say Jack at the certain point there, that one stairwell wasn't going to be good enough to get people out of there.
Thank you.
But there is, I can understand part of it. I can understand they're being sold as bill of goods by the city, saying it's going to be so much better to go there. And unfortunately, we are a community that is knee-jerk. And we're not knee-jerk with a little tap. Sometimes we're knee-jerk that needs a freaking sledgehammer to get us to do something. And this was a sledgehammer. The idea of moving it to downtown, and what I refer to as the swastika entry point. Coming in from four corners, making a turn in and doing a circle. You follow the lines, it looks like one of those things.
Oh my God.
Everyone coming in and forming around so that you can get a circular parade, and that way everybody sees it and there's no gaps. Bull. Yeah, the easiest point.
It's a gay pride parade.
That's just a disaster waiting to happen.
You know, the easiest thing to do is go from point A to point B, and they're not doing that right. So what makes you think starting four different parades simultaneously is going to work?
I mean, it's a bad example. Look what happened to the street festival when they moved it.
Well, the other thing, too, is look at the international festival, and they moved it to Reliant Park, where there were no trees, there were no shady spots to go and sit down and rest.
Oh, that was a train wreck.
And that's a metro train wreck.
The next year, it was back downtown like that.
And that's the thing is, you know, that'll happen. You know, I would really love to see how well, you know, after all my years with Q Patrol, I would love to see the kind of spark in the citizens of this city that supposedly was there that started Q Patrol, that people got up and said, we're pissed and we're going to do something about it. As far as I'm concerned, there's part of me that hopes that they take the parade and move it downtown to September or October or November, whenever they want to do it. Because I want to see this community get off their asses and do some sort of activism that doesn't include the mouse click.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see something besides mouse click activism and people getting up and saying, fine, you want to take it over there? Well, guess what? That date's now available to hold a parade, because you can only hold one parade a day in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to take the game over there? Fine. That day is open. The streets are open. We'll do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we'll bring it back to the Montrose and start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And show them that it can be done. Show them that this community, that even though we have more gay people living out in, you know, Jersey Village and the Northern Heights and Pasadena and all these extended areas, you know, that this is not the gay enclave anymore. It's where it's where we come to party and where we come to shop. But it's not where we live.
Well, the thing is that this has kind of become the community where the city of Houston has dropped off all of its problems that it doesn't want to deal with. And it's also the part of Houston where the shiesty real estate agents want to pigeonhole everyone who want to live close to everything without the hassle of being downtown or, you know, in the suburbs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And really, in the end, it's going to be the people who were here first who are going to win out. Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. Because the people at the shiesty real estate agents are trying to pigeonhole into here are not going to stay that long. They're going to stay long enough to start a family and move out to suburbia. And we'll be back where we started 20 years ago.
They've already started building the apartment complexes. I mean,
look at how many historical houses are gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over. I mean, they've already destroyed a large part of our community.
The full floor next door. It looks, oh my God, it's almost completely gone.
It's what I call the reckoning of the Shire. You know, it's it's a slow but steady gentrification to the area, but as a community, we can do something to stem the tide of the gentrification that's going on.
Really, that's a pan group effort, because there's lots of places besides just the Montrose area here in Houston that the same thing is happening, and you find that all across our country that the same type of that's old, just take that down and we'll put up another high rise.
You got neighborhoods all over around the downtown area, like Third Ward and First Ward and so forth.
Well,
inundated, you know, so.
Well, yeah. West Gray complex is about to go down.
Yeah, you know, the Parkway.
You know, it's. I remember reading. You know, the Black Eyed Peas about to close down.
That's pretty sad. They got some really good mom and pop stores over there.
Yeah,
that
and
really brings character to the area.
And they're looking at. You know, there's only a year or two left for River Oaks Theater to be around.
Yep.
And that's going to be
even horrible.
Alabama.
That's horrible here. Yeah.
Well, now I also heard that Allen House. All of that's gone.
It will be gone, but it'll be redeveloped.
Right, exactly.
Into one of these multi-purpose buildings, you know, where it's, you know, shops on the bottom floor.
Right,
offices and lofts.
Yeah.
And
the best example of where this is happening is if you drive anywhere on Kirby from Westheimer south into the village, you can see this happening.
Oh, God, yeah.
And you go down that street, and this is going to be Houston in the next 5 to 10 years.
Drive down Galveston Road. Go down 45 to Galveston, and I'm telling you, man, it is now housing districts all the way. I live on the island, and it used to be all forest, and now it's like I think I pass between the Beltway 8 and home. I pass 4 Walmarts.
Yeah.
4.
Yeah.
Well, you also 30 miles.
You also have to take in.
It's not even an hour drive, man.
Well, you also have to take into consideration that the gay community is probably one of the most money influential communities here in Houston, because we are the ones who are buying this property that once it goes up, and I think the city recognizes that, and that's why they want to move it downtown, so that the money that we spend, not just on the parade itself, but in the shops and in the bars, will also kind of like ripple out into those businesses as well. And will those businesses accept us down there on that day is to be seen.
There's absolutely nothing downtown that I would find as a gay man where it would be attractive for me to go spend my money in.
But you know what? But you have the gay community here in Houston. From what I have seen over the past several years, is that a lot of them are starting to, you know, the ones that have the money are starting to flaunt their money, starting to invest in areas to increase their revenue. Just because, you know, it might not be here in Montrose, but it's around in the suburbs, and that's why a lot of this is going up and around. And if you look, I was just kicked out of where I live because they want to build. And I know for a fact that the majority of the people who are buying are people who have money, which, you know.
My friend, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My friend asked me, well, why do you keep up with the real estate section in the paper? I said, because I want to know when the bulldozers are going to show up at my front door.
Exactly.
Me too. Where I live at, it's threatened. It's a risk of being threatened. I mean, my next door neighbor, Linwood Johnson, he's trying to buy out these rows of houses on Victor Street because they plan to bulldoze those down and put those.
See, even living in a historic district, you're not safe. You know?
Okay. Well, we're getting close here to the end here. Last chance for you to call in 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. I guess I'm going to have to save this little top 10 list for next week. Next week, we'll be featuring in the roundtable section, TV's most influential gay male sex scenes.
Ooh.
Are they playing?
No, they're not.
Close, but no. These are television shows.
Oh.
With gay male scenes. I said, you know, if they would have done this before 2000, the list would have been extremely short.
Soap.
Well, yep. I don't know if that features the sex scene or not, but the number one on it is from 30-something.
Mm-hmm.
That was hot. Yeah.
Those of you, you know, but I still laugh at the thing with watching, you know, on the Brothers and Sisters show, whenever they have the,
you know, the guy's kissing, and I remember back to the problems that 30-something have, and go there and look. Well, she used to be on 30-something, and is directed by her husband, who was also on 30-something. Mm-hmm. Patricia Wedding and Ken Olin is the producer. And they were stars in 30-something. They had the problem of, we can't show two guys in bed. Mm. We've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Please call in 713-526-5738 at this time for your pledge of support so I don't have a goose egg. No such luck. 713-526-5738 or go to kpft.org and you can make your pledge there safely and anonymously. Coming up here, Laura with Laura Palooza. And I'm going to give one last plug thing and it's time for her.
This is Dean Becker, producer of the 420 Drug War News, Cultural Baggage, and Century of Lies. You want to hear the real truth? Do you want to know what's really going on? You know you'll never get the whole truth.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to. But you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.